ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चाक्षुरन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा गदामय्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतापदकमलं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणे प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादे पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनामिने गौरत्विषे नमः. नमो ब्राह्मण्यदेवाय गोब्राह्मणैताय च जगद्विताय कृष्णाय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते. सप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुस्तुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यस्य कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्दं श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्दं. कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा, थैंक यू फॉर कमिंग टुडे आल्सो इन स्पाइट ऑफ हैविंग बोरिंग सेशंस टुडे. सो यस्टरडे वी हैव डिस्कस्ड द ओवरव्यू ऑफ भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 1 ऑल द वे अप टू चैप्टर 20. ए ब्रीफ ओवरव्यू. सो 1, जस्ट टू गिव अस ए फेथ upon the descriptions of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada very nicely puts forward in the purport of 10th verse of 16th chapter. 16th chapter, 10th verse. In the purport, he actually gives a hope. How should we approach Bhagavatam? What should be our outlook towards Bhagavatam, especially the 5th canto descriptions? Because yesterday we were seeing that all the mountains are of 10,000 yojanas in height. And the length are some are like 1 lakh yojanas in height, like Mount Meru, all these things. These are very difficult to conceive with our so-called current understanding. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, I'll just read out this for you. There are so many mountains even on this planet Earth. We do not think that the measurements of all of them have actually been calculated. So Prabhupada is referring to the mountains in this planet Earth. So there are so many mountains which are looks very gigantic. Did anyone dare to measure the height and width, all those things are proposing. While passing over the mountainous region from Mexico to Caracas, we actually saw so many mountains that we doubt whether their height, length and breadth have been properly measured. Therefore, as indicated in Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami, we should not try to comprehend the greater mountainous areas of the universe merely by our calculations. So I will read it again. We should not try to comprehend the greater mountainous areas of the universe merely by our calculations. So yesterday, whatever we were discussing, so if we try to analyze through our material knowledge or whatever, we will not be able to understand them. So what Prabhupada says next? Sukadeva Goswami has already stated that such calculations would be very difficult even if one had a duration of life like that of a Brahma. We should simply be satisfied with the statements of authorities like Sukadeva Goswami and appreciate how the entire cosmic manifestation has been made possible by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by hearing these descriptions, we should simply appreciate, we cannot analyze, because these are beyond our analysis capacity. We should simply appreciate Lord's wonderful creation. That's what Prabhupada writes. The measurements given herein, such as 10,000 yojanas, 100,000 yojanas, should be considered correct because they have been given by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Yesterday we were discussing about this point. Did we mention that? Sukadeva Goswami in that assembly were all sitting there. So, okay. So, previously when I was speaking in Chopati, I was telling that. In the recent history, there are two historical conversations, which took place in the midst of all the learned scholars, all the greatest personalities of the entire universe. These are actually explained in Bhagavatam. The first conversation took place to honor the passing away of Srila Bhishma Dev. So, in that occasion, all the greatest personalities all over from Brahma's planet, from lower planets, all greatest people assembled there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, in that assembly, Bhishma Dev spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj and various dharmas, Raja Dharma, Sri Dharma, Putra Dharma, so Pita Dharma, so many rules and regulations about how to live in this world. So he spoke over 36 days, more than 36 days, that's what Bhagavatam gives an account. So he spoke in that assembly, Lord Sri Krishna is personally present. Looking at the face of Lord Krishna only, he spoke, Bhishma Dev spoke. And in that assembly, Sri Sukadeva Goswami personally present. Sukadeva Goswami himself was present in that assembly. So this took place during the time of Mahabharata. Then later on, Parikshit Maharaj became king. When he took up, because of the curse, to that fast and delayed birth. So that time also, again, all the great sages assembled there. Headed by Narada Muni, Vyasadev, and all Atri, Kratu, Pulaha, Pulasya, all the great sages assembled. In that assembly, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking. So, if he is speaking in front of such great assembly, how can he make a mistake of saying something wrong? How can he give some erroneous information? So whatever he gives, it is correct. So it is up to us, how do we understand how it is correct? So that's what. Our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our experimental knowledge, whatever scientific advancement, can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Bhagavatam. For example, yesterday we were showing about the 1000 yojanas of Bharata Varsha or Bharata Kanda. We have started with entire Bhumandala, came all the way up to planet Earth, and we have correlated with scientific findings. Both are exactly almost matching. So in that way, if we do some analysis, some research, we'll be able to find out all the details from Bhagavatam, what is told by scientists. Even our dear Prem Gauranga Prabhu is working on that. He is doing a lot of research on this area. Very soon he will reveal all the things. So we'll hope and pray that will happen very soon. We should simply hear these statements from the authorities, like Sri Sukadeva Goswami, etc. If we can appreciate the extensive energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that will benefit us. This is the last statement of Prabhupada in this purport. If we can appreciate the extensive energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that will benefit us. How it will benefit us? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah taktva deha punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. If we appreciate Lord's wonderful appearance and activities, that will help us to go back to Godhead. So just to support this, in the previous purport, that is the verse number 8, so Prabhupada quotes Srila Madhvacharya. So in this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verses from Brahmanda Purana. Even this verse comes at the very beginning of Bhugola Varnam. That is what we are going to discuss now. This verse is the basis of the descriptions given by Madhvacharya or his disciples in the line of Madhva. So this verse says that Yata Bhagavate Tuktam Bhavanam Kosha Lakshanam Tasya Virodato Yojyam Anya Grantantare Stitam. So translation is not given in the purport, but translation goes like this. Whatever descriptions given in Bhagavatam are considered to be perfect and right. Whatever is mentioned in other scriptures should be interpreted according to the descriptions of Bhagavatam. That is the translation of this verse. This Madhvacharya quotes and Vada Tirtha quote this verse and starts his description of Bhugola Varnam. So taking the inspiration from this. So whatever is described in Bhagavatam should be accepted as accurate. And whatever is described in other Puranas should be interpreted in terms of Bhagavatam. And in the next verse, he also tells that in Bhagavatam also there are two corrections. That corrections he makes here in this one verse. So Bhagavatam, everything mentioned is correct only. But in that Bhagavatam also there are two corrections. That we'll discuss when we go there. What are the corrections? So that is how he supports what is described in Bhagavatam. So today, yesterday we have discussed from Bhagavatam, chapter 1 to chapter 16. Today, before going to chapter 21, we'll just see the summary of Bhugola Varnanam written by Srila Vadiraditya. He's a great grand disciple, like in Madhvacharya's line. He is like Jiva Goswami in our Gaudiya line. There are two great personalities appeared after Madhvacharya to expand the works of Madhvacharya. One is Jayatirtha, the second one is Vadiraditya. These two are like great personalities who wrote commentaries on the works of Srila Madhvacharya. Just like Jiva Goswami wrote commentaries on the works of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, so that we'll be able to understand them. Later on, Chakravarti Pada wrote commentaries, further commentaries on the works of Jiva Goswami, like that. So today we'll start with this Bhugola Varnanam. So references from Srila Vadiraditya's Bhugola Varnanam. So what we are going to discuss in this presentation? Identity of Srila Vadiraditya. Description of Bhumandala, whatever we have discussed yesterday, it is a kind of review for yesterday's discussion. Yesterday itself was a review, and today again one more review. So, description of Bhumandala, its divisions, seven dvipas, golden land and diamond land, Jambu dvipa, Bharata Varsha and Bharata Kanda, shape and location of Bharata Kanda. Yesterday we have seen the dimension of Bharata Kanda. Today we will see the shape and location of Bharata Kanda. Orbits of Sun, Moon and Rahu. $1 million question, why can't we see everything described above? So whatever we have discussed yesterday, so why are we not able to see? So some analysis given by Madhva scholars, we'll try to see today. So Srila Vadiraditya, he is a personality born in 1480 and he lived for 120 years. That is 1600 years. This is as good as, like, this is contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you see, 1484, for 1486 Mahaprabhu appeared, he is 1480, little elder than Mahaprabhu. He is a renowned Acharya in the line of Madhva. So Madhvacharya appeared 1238, something like that. He is little, or 2 centuries later he appeared. So he is a wonderful devotee of Lord Hayagriva. Yesterday we were discussing about Lord Hayagriva. So every day he would offer Boga to Lord Hayagriva, keeping that Boga plate on his head. So Lord Hayagriva would come from behind, put her front knees on top of his two shoulders and accept the boga. Every day it would happen like that. This is Rajboga offering. So just like we hear in the life of Madhvacharya, there are some people became envious of his wonderful achievements. So like that, seeing his great achievements also, people became envious. One day they mixed poison in the boga. So every day what Lord would do, every day Lord would take half of the prasadam, half or whatever, and he would keep some remnants for Vadiraditya. Vadiraditya would accept only those remnants. So this day, when that poison is mixed, so Lord accepted whole boga. He did not left even one piece of grain. So Lord took away, ate everything. So then Vadiraditya was pondering, why, what exactly happened, why it is so like that. So in the evening, that person came and begged forgiveness. Then he understood, Lord actually saved me. Like that. This is the greatness of his devotional service. So some details about his identity. These details looks like little esoteric, but whatever it is, this is what is accepted by Madhvas, so we have to accept. So they say gradation of living entities. We start with immovable living entities and aquatics and reptiles, birds, beasts, human beings, demigods, like that. In the demigods also there are like different living entities. So it goes all the way up to topmost living entity is Brahmaji. So after Brahma, the gradation of living entities goes like this. Brahma, then comes Vayu, then comes Latavya, like that. There are 200 great personalities who are said to become successive Brahmas. So currently one personality is Brahma. So the remaining 199 people, they will become next 199 Brahmas. The next person who is supposed to become Brahmaji is Vayudev, the current Vayu, who appeared as Hanumanji in Treta Yuga, who appeared as Bhimasen in Dwapara Yuga, who appeared as Madhvacharya in Kali Yuga. He is going to become next Brahmaji, the future Brahma. After this Brahma's tenure is over, other 50 years is over, the next Brahma will be this Vayudev. So the next person, Latavya, he is next to next Brahma. So he will become the next to Vayu. The current Vayu, when he changes his role in the next Manvantara, this Latavya will become next to Vayu. So this Latavya, he actually appeared as Vadiraya Tirtha. He is future Vayudev. So it's like that in a company, we have, not promotion, what do we say? Prime Minister, Minister and Vice Minister, what do you say? Deputy Minister, yeah? Now, President and Vice President. So President knows everything about that institution, A to Z. Vice President also knows, as good as. So like that, Vayu knows about this entire universe, just like Brahma knows. So just the way Brahma and Vayu know, Latavya also know about this universe as it is. So because he is going to be future Vayu, now itself he has the powers of Vayu. So you can go anywhere in person. So they say that even he himself writes in his autobiography, I have been traveled to every nook and corner of this entire universe. So I know about this universe in detail. So what I am writing is not a mythology or some fairy tale. It is actually personally witnessed. So we say that pratyaksha, pratyaksha, pratyaksha. So here is pratyaksha, stating is pratyaksha. So I have went to all the places of the universe. I am stating everything in this book. So this is all correct. So like that he states. So he is going to be future Vayu. That's why he is called Bhavi Samira. And these people assist Lord Brahma in the activities of Lord Brahma. Latavya, he actually appeared as Vadira Tirtha. And in the next Manvantara, he will become Vayu, the god in charge of air. As of now, he is a personality. Next Manvantara, he will become Vayu. So in this Manvantara, he appeared as a disciple in the line of Madhvacharya. Just to assist Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya came and gave some scriptures. So for the benefit of people, they further disciples came and elaborated on that. So it's like that. So just one fascinating story, one recently our Kirtan Thai Prabhu, he is there in Mayapur. He heard in Mayapur, he shared one day with us. The personality who appeared before Vadira Tirtha is Jayatirtha. Actually, Jayatirtha, in his previous life, he was a bull. When Madhvacharya was traveling all over the planet or all over India, the bull was carrying all the books written by Madhvacharya in the bullock cart. He was a bull. So whenever Madhvacharya would give a discourse, the bull, with rapt attention, would hear each and every syllable of Madhvacharya. Every day he would hear. So what happened? So the disciples, of course, there are very wonderful illustrious disciples, but some could be not so illustrious. They would always ask Madhvacharya that, Gurudev, who will become your descendant, next successor? So Madhvacharya would say that bull will become my successor. So they would be like a little bit envious about the bull. How could this bull become successor? So this is not good. So later on, again they heard same thing from Madhvacharya. So one day they became very, restless. They fed poison to the bull. So the bull fell down and it is about to leave his body. Then Madhvacharya came to the bull and he was speaking to the bull in the ears. So did you hear? The essence of life is this one, the essence of human existence is this one, the essence of the scriptures are this one. He was speaking all the details to the bull. Because the bull has to explain the teachings of Madhvacharya in his next life by becoming Jayatirtha. So when that bull appeared as next, bull passed away, then he appeared in the family of a Kshatriyas. He became a prince. So he became so valorous Kshatriya, he was defeating all the people all over that South India area. He was defeating everyone. One day he alone and went and defeated a big tyranny, but a big army which is coming to invade that kingdom. So after defeating all the people, he was going back. That time he was feeling so thirsty. So while riding the horse only, he was going through the banks of a river. So he just bent himself and accepted some water. He just collected some water and drinking. Some brahmanas who saw there, then they said, "What is this? What are you doing? If you are feeling thirsty, you stop and drink. Why are you drinking like a bull?" The brahmana said, "Why are you drinking like a bull?" As soon as he heard the word bull, then he remembered his past life. Everything he remembered. He remembered that he is a disciple of Madhvacharya, and Madhvacharya told him to explain. He told him to become his successor. Then he went home. He told that, "I am giving up our family. I am taking renunciation," because he has to become sadhu. Then only he can dedicate his time. The family people said that, "No, you cannot become sadhu." So one day he escaped from home. So he went to the disciples. He took shelter of disciples of Madhvacharya. By that time Madhvacharya must have not been there. So but the people came and caught him and took him home. Then the spiritual master whom he took shelter, he told that, "You take the permission of your family member, then come. Don't come just like that. So don't become sannyasi just like that." Then he went back and he spent for a lot of time. He convinced all of them. Okay? So they were not convincing. So what they did? They imprisoned him. They imprisoned him. So when they imprisoned him, one day Lord Anantashesh came and circumambulated him. And with a hood, it was just, he was sleeping there on the bare floor. The Anantashesh was circumambulating him and he was about to devour him like that. Then the whole family members came here, came to see him. Then he told, "See, you have only two options. One option, you allow me to be swallowed by this snake, huge snake, or you allow me to go and take sannyas. In the first option, if this snake swallows me, you will not see me at all. But if you allow me to go and take sannyas, at least now and then you can see me. So which one you want? You please decide." Then they said, "At least you go and take sannyas, at least you are alive. At least we'll be happy by knowing that you are alive." Then they all gave permission to him to take sannyas. So he went and took sannyas and then elaborately explained the works of Madhvacharya. Later on, after one or two lifetimes, not he, but other, this Latavya appeared as Vajradhirtha. So the purport given to this is actually, this bull who appeared during the time of Madhvacharya, later on who appeared as Jayatirtha, is actually Arjuna, the younger brother of Bhimasen. Okay? So Arjuna and Bhima assisted Yudharmaraj to establish Dharma that time. Then now in the Kali Yuga, Madhvacharya came down to establish, re-establish Dharma by teaching elaborately. Then during Mahabharata time, Arjuna actually somewhat disrupted the sannyasa order. We read from Bhagavatam, Arjuna went to Dwaraka and he entered into the court of Balramji as a sannyasi. He stayed there for 4 months as a sannyasi. He accepted the service of Subhadra as a sannyasi. At the end of the 4 months, he kidnapped Subhadra. So for the people in general who hear this pastime, they think that this is not at all good. A sannyasi should not do like this. He accepted sannyasa and he is doing this kind of thing. This is not at all fair. So that time, apparently he created a black spot on the order of sannyasa. So now he want to remove that black spot. So in this lifetime, with the permission of his whole family members only, he accepted sannyas. So just to have some entertainment. So this is the pastime of the great souls appeared in the line of Madhva. So then, what this Vajradhirtha, he did, na? He lived for 120 years. We know that recently this Pejavar Swami became fifth Paryay. So Vajradhirtha is actually first one who became fifth, who accepted this Paryay for 5 times. Before Vajradhirtha, Paryay was every 2 months. So he made it into, every 2 years. He made it into every two, how many? 16 years. 16 years. There are 8 matas, 16 years. After every 2 years it will change. Total it is 16 years, again they will come back. So 16, 5, 80. So he lived for 120 years, so he could become fifth Paryay. So like that. He actually changed it to 2 months to 2 years. The Paryay changing will happen after every 2 years. So that the sadhus, sannyasis, will have sufficient time to go out and preach. 2 years they will stay in Udupi, and remaining 14 years they travel all over the world for preaching purpose, something like that. So he lived for 120 years. After 120 years, he entered into Samadhi. Then he entered into a dumb Brahmana, a born dumb Brahmana. He entered into the body of a born dumb Brahmana and he dictated through the mouth of a dumb person about his autobiography so that people can accept it. So that's how his autobiography is written. So he is a contemporary of the famous Krishnadevaraya Vijayanagara. If somebody want to verify all these details, you can refer to history. That's what the Madhva scholars write in the book. Because that is the time Krishnadevaraya was ruling. Prithaparudra Maharaj, Krishnadevaraya, they are all ruling during that time only, 15th century. So Bhugola Varnam is the first-hand knowledge of Vajradirtha because he himself traveled everywhere. There are three pramanas we generally talk about: Pratyaksha, Hanumana and Shabda. So visual perception, logic and Vedic literature. This is Pratyaksha, Hanumana and Agamas. So Aptavakya is the word spoken by reliable person. Our acharyas, whatever they say, that is called Aptavakya. That is as good as Shabda Pramana. Whatever is written by age-old sadhu saints like Vasudev, they are all that we consider as Shabda. But our recent acharyas also, whatever they wrote, that is also Shabda. But more technically, it is called Aptavakya. They are well-wishers of us. So they explain scriptures in their own language. So that's why they can be considered as reliable information. So Bhugola Varnanam is Aptavakya of Vajradirtha for us. So Vajradirtha personally explained his experiences. So that's why it is also as good as Shabda Praman. It is reliable and can stand the test of modern science, this literature. So now, yeah, the structure of the universe, as per Srila Vajradirtha's Bhugola Varnanam, we briefly describe. So Brahmanda, first it starts with Brahmanda. What is the Brahmanda? Brahmanda is a hollow golden egg. Hollow golden egg. In the second canto and third canto, we read that when the 24 elements are created, so when Lord infuses the 24 elements with the cohesive energy, Vibhuti Shakti, all the 24 elements combined together, they form a golden egg. Then into that golden egg, Lord Karnadaksha Vishnu expands himself as Garbhadaksha Vishnu and enters into it. And he manifests the entire Virat Rupa within the universe. So that is the golden egg. So that golden egg is round in all directions. Something which is round in all directions is called spherical. The Brahmanda is spherical in nature. So in the middle of the sphere, which is called golden egg, whose dimension is 500 million yojanas, is Bhumandala. Yesterday we have seen that whole Bhumandala. That is exactly in the middle, spread across, that is called Bhumandala. So it is a vast land spread across the diameter. So this Bhumandala is primarily consisting of three parts. Yesterday we also discussed various divisions. Primarily there are three parts. One is Aloka Varsha, there is Loka Varsha, and separate in these two there is Loka Loka Mountain. So the same three parts with little bit variation in dimensions they describe in Bhugola Varnanam. There is no difference, the same three things only, but little bit dimensions are different. This is the whole universe, Brahmanda. This lower part is filled with water, upper part is sky. In the middle there is Bhumandala. The three parts are, the central portion is circular earth. The surrounding portion is the region of darkness. And the third portion which is surrounding, that is Ganodaka, solidified water. So the Aloka Varsha, they refer it as Ganodaka. Loka Loka Mountain, they refer it as region of darkness, that is Andhatamas. And the seven dvipas, seven oceans, including golden land, that they refer to as circular earth. They call it as circular earth. Prithvi in Sanskrit they call. So this is whole Bhumandala. So this is the universal shell in both the directions. So the dimensions given by Bhugola Varnanam, they are like this. The circular earth, its width is 35.71. This is the radial width. That means radius. The width of this dark region is 71.43 and the Ganodaka is 142.86. Yesterday we have briefly seen that. So up till golden land, the radius of Bhumandala is 41.1. The width of the Loka Loka Mountain is 82.2. And the width of the Aloka Varsha is 123.3. So these are somewhat close to them, but little different. So there the ratio is 1:2:3. 41, 82, 123. 1:2:3. Here the ratio is 1:2:4. Okay. Here this is 35. 2 times is 71. 2 times is 142. If you combine these three, it becomes 250. This is the 250. So one side radius is 250. So there's a little difference in dimensions, but otherwise regions are same. The inside regions, the seven dvipas, they are exact same as described in Bhagavatam. So this is the circular earth. This is region of darkness. this is Ganodaka salified water. So 1:2:4 ratio they were divided. Yeah, that we'll discuss when it comes. Solidified water is why water is transformed into Gana Udaka. Gana means solid, Udaka means water. Solidified water, yes, that is true. We'll discuss when it comes. We start one by one. All three will be discussed a little bit. So the circular earth is further divided into these different parts. Earth with 7 islands and 7 oceans. That is 5.07 crore yojanas. They describe everything in terms of crore yojanas. Crores. Because this is Indian language. Yesterday we discussed everything in terms of millions. Because Prabhupada refers to millions everything. Because Prabhupada wrote Bhagavatam for entire universe. So in that way. So India we are accustomed with laksha and crore. So outside they are accustomed with million, million, trillion like that. So 5.07 means 50.7 million yojanas. 10 times it is. So 25 plus 25 becomes 50. In that way it is same. So land of gold. On both opposite side it is 0.64 crore yojanas. Surrounding this golden land, there is a diamond land. That is 0.42 crore yojanas. Then surrounding this diamond land, there is Brahma Bhumi. That is about 5 lakh yojanas. The total it becomes 7.14 crore yojanas, which is described in the previous one table. So 7.14 crore yojanas are 71.43 million yojanas. This is how it is. So these are dimensions of circular earth. So these are different divisions if you can see. So this is the seventh dvipa. No, this is seventh dvipa, seventh ocean. This is all seven dvipa, seven oceans. So this is golden land. Surrounding this is diamond land. This is how they describe. They add one extra land that is called the diamond land, Vajralepa. Actually, the description of this diamond land actually comes in Ramayana. It is not that they are adding something new. When Sugriva is speaking to the monkeys where they have to go in search of Mother Sita, when he was explaining about the eastern direction where they are supposed to go, he tells that if you go in the eastern direction, you will see seven dvipas, seven oceans. Afterwards, you will see there is golden land. After that, you will see Vajra, land made of Vajras. Then you will see the Anantashesh. That's how he describes. Then you cannot go further. Then you come back from there. That is the last. You can go all the way. You can come back like that, he says. This we'll discuss later on. Again, this discussion comes in this presentation. So this is what that entire universe is all about. The same thing. These are seven dvipas, seven oceans from the previous. So description of the second region, Andhatamas, the region of complete darkness. Beyond Brahma Bhumi, there exists Loka Loka Parvata. This region of darkness is synonymous to Loka Loka Mountain. So this is called Andhatamas, the pit of darkness. There is a pit of darkness. In this area, there is a pit of darkness. Pit means a big valley kind of thing. So this is the place where the Supreme Lord throws the greatest of all sinful people. In Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, one of the last two verses, Lord Krishna says that those envious people who does not want to, after explaining about that Asuri Pravurti, the people who are Asuri Sampada, so Lord says that those people does not listen to me, they eventually become envious of me and envious of my devotees. Such kind of people, I throw them into hell, or I will give them birth in the families of demons. Thus, they are thrown into darkest regions of hell. That's what Prabhupada writes. So that is actually, Madhvaka scholars refer to this one, this pit of darkness. They are thrown into this hell for the duration of Brahma's night, and then again they'll come back and they'll take birth in the family of demons, and they'll continue like that. Thus, that's how they connect it to Bhagavad Gita. This is the principal region of darkness. It extends even higher than the Loka Loka, 5.16 million yojanas. Loka Loka Parvata is about 4 million yojanas, something like 3.9 or 4 million yojanas if you take round figure. So it goes much more than that. But that means 4 million yojanas upward and 1.16 million yojanas downward also. There is a pit inside also, something like that. We can understand. So this is putrefied darkness like water turned into ice. According to them, the Loka Loka mountain is not a rocky mountain. This is a mountain made up of solid ice. So that is the understanding. So the cross section of Bhumandala, if you divide it, this Loka Loka mountain and how they are situated, we'll just see. So this is Mount Meru, which is just above Mount Meru, there is moon. We'll discuss about moon position all today. So there is sun, There is Lokaloka mountain. Yeah, what happened? Yeah, there is. You're able to see? Yeah, I'm able to see. No, actually, it's supposed to come one by one, actually. All are coming together. Yeah, after sun, Lokaloka mountain is there, na? So this entire region is called Pit of the Darkness. Because of Lokaloka mountain, the sunrise cannot go other side. Okay? And this here, this region, according to them, this is the Pit of Darkness, where Lord Krishna throws the demonic people with Aturi Pravruti into this hell. That's what they say. And there are 28 hellish planets are located here. So something like that. These hellish planets are described in 26th chapter of 5th Canto. Their location they just briefly mentioned. So now, then Bhugola Varnam further describes about lower planets. There are thumbs, they want to come to some conclusion. That's why they are describing all these things step by step. The lower planets, yesterday we were discussing about, one devotee was asking where they are located and all. The Mount Meru, out of 1 lakh yojanas, 84,000 yojanas is above the Bhumandala, or above Jambudvipa. The 64 is within Jambudvipa. Sir, 16 within Jambudvipa. So like a basement. There are 7 lower planets are situated below Mount Meru like this. Each with a length, depth of 10,000 yojanas. 10,000, like this, 7 are there, 70,000 total. And they also say that there is a gap between each successive lower planets. That is about 500 yojanas. So there are Atala, Vitala, Patala, something like that to the extent. So there is, this is 16,000 yojanas, the Mount Meru. Then each is 10,000 plus gap is 500. 10,500. Like that, when we come to this point, it covers actually around 89,000 yojanas. And they say that there is 11,000 yojanas of extra earth is still there. Earth, in terms of width, it is still there. So in that way, total width of this Bhumandala becomes 1 lakh yojanas. The total width of the Bhumandala is 1 lakh yojanas. The big, huge disk of Bhumandala, its diameter is about 500 million yojanas, but the thickness is only 1 lakh yojanas. The division of the thickness is this one. The 7 lower planets have 7 into 10,000. So this is the remaining. And this is the area where the 28 hellish planets are located. The 28 hellish planets are located in this extra earth. So in the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 30, where Lord Kapiladev, while describing how a person suffers throughout his life, and how a person leaves his body suffering, and after leaving his body, the Yamadutas take that living entity within 2 to 3 muhurtas to the court of Hemaraj, which is at a distance of 99,000 yojanas. This number comes in 3rd canto, 30th chapter, one of the last lokas. So just put it here. So the hell location from the surface of Bhumandala is about 99,000 yojanas. So from here, we have counted till now. Till here it is 89,000 yojanas. There is another 11,000 yojanas extra earth is there. But from here, 10,000 yojanas, if you go downward, that is the location of hell. This is the location of hell within the verse number I do not know, Prabhuji, but this is one of the last verses of 30th chapter of 3rd canto. One of the last verses. The verse number will come in the future presentation when we will describe about the hellish planets. That chapter I put that verse number. Here it is not there. So this is how it is described. Then what is there? This entire Bhumandala was carried by 8 elephants. These are generally referred as Ashtadigajas. 8 elephants, Ashtadigajas. These 8 elephants taking the weight of this entire Bhumandala. The reference of these 8 elephants does not come in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam, but it comes in different cantos. For example, during the pastime of Banasur, in the 10th canto. So Banasur, after getting the benediction from Lord Shiva, he became so powerful with his 1,000 arms. So he wanted to find an equal opponent to fight with him. So he was traveling all over the universe. Just like Hiranyaksha also traveled all over the universe to find an equal opponent. So he could not find anyone. Then he went down. He went to planet after planet. He went all the way up to Patala. Then he went down. There he saw these Ashtadigajas. He challenged them. I want to fight with all of you. They all fled in fear of Banasura. That is how the description comes in Bhagavatam. In one other place also comes. So, but at least that one I remember. I'm just explaining. So some places it is mentioned that Ashtadigajas, but not mentioned in fifth canto. But Bhugola Varnam, they clearly mention about the location of Ashtadigajas. Yes, Prabhu? Yeah, Ashtadigajas are actually created by Lord Brahma. They are carrying the weight of Bhumandala. Because Bhumandala is a big disk. It is there. So somebody has to carry it. So they are carrying it. Okay, we'll come to another stage also. Currently, first Ashtadigajas are carrying him. So next another stage will come into picture. So these are the dimensions. The seven lower planet, their height is 70,000, Mount Meru 16,000. The gap between them is 3,000, extra earth is 11,000. Total put together, it becomes 1 lakh yojanas, the thickness of Bhumandala. So this is the Bhumandala. There is Mount Meru. So all the things you can see. Seven lower planets are located here. You are able to see the new thing which came. So seven lower planets. So then there are hellish planets just beneath them, beneath Patala Loka. Then the Ashtadikajas, which are carrying the entire Bhumandala, along with all the seven lower planets and hellish planets. And what happening? The Lord Shesha, he is holding upon these Ashtadikajas. Lord Shesha is carrying the Ashtadikajas. Ashtadikajas are carrying the Bhumandala. So in a way, Lord Shesha is carrying the Bhumandala. But Lord Shesha himself is not carrying the Bhumandala. Who is carrying? Kurma is carrying Lord Shesha. Because beneath Lord Shesha there is Garbhodaka ocean. Snakes cannot float in the ocean. They can swim across the ocean, but they cannot float. But Kurma can float in the ocean. Kurma can float in the water. So Kurma is floating in the water. On top of the Kurma, Shesha is there. And he is giving support to the Ashtadikajas who are holding the Bhumandala. So this is how they describe the whole universe. Garbhodaksha Vishnu does not hold the universe. He created and went into Yoga Nidra. Kurma is holding. This Kurma is also Lord's expansion. So now, they also describe about the layers. The universal layers, all these are described. Okay. Before going there, we just mentioned previously that Sugriva was telling to the monkeys that when you go to Brahma Bhumi, that is where you see Shesha. Okay? And they also mention various pastimes in Bhagavatam and other Ramayana Mahabharata. They say that these Sagara Kumaras, 60,000 sons of Sagara Maharaj, when the horse was stolen by Indra, he kept the horse in Patala Loka. So Ramayana actually describes, just to correlate these measurements according to other scriptures. So Sagara Maharaj ordered his sons, please go and search. They searched all over Jambudvipa. They could not find. Then they came back and reported to their father. The father told, then dig Jambudvipa. It may be somewhere inside. So each person took the responsibility of digging Jambudvipa for one yojana. So 60,000 people dug the earth for 60,000 yojanas. They could not find it. 60,000 yojana they dug. Then they came back and reported to their father. The father told, now you go and further dig. Then they digged it further. So when they came all the way up to Patala, they could not Patala, just before Patala, they started changing their course. They started digging eastern direction, western direction, like they were going in all eight directions. When they dug it further for some more distance, they met these eight elephants, the Ashtadigajas. So then they asked the Ashtadigajas, so did you happen to see the horse which is stolen from our father's sacrifice? Sacrificial arena. Then they spoke in a cryptic verse, just like Narada Muni instructed the Hariyashvas in a cryptic way. So they tell cryptic verse. All the eight elephants told in one cryptic verse. The meaning of that verse is that if you go to Patala, you will find out the horse. The following the instructions of that verse, they go to Patala, they found the horse. So when they found the horse, they also saw Lord Kapildev. They thought that Kapila only stole that horse. They became angry towards Lord Kapildev. They wanted to destroy Kapildev. So when they are about to destroy Kapildev, Kapildev opened the eyes. So Ramayana describes, just when he opened the eyes, the fire emitting from the eyes, he burnt all the 60,000 sons of Sagar Kumaras. But Bhagavatam explains that the anger, which is not supposed to be vent against Lord Kapildev, who is peaceful sage, they unnecessarily became angry upon Lord Kapildev. That anger itself burnt all the 60,000 sons. So they were burnt there. So later on, for their deliverance, their son,
Not exactly their son, their other son. Anshuman tried to appease Lord Brahma to get Ganges down. Then Dilipa appeased Ganges to come down. Then Bhagirath Maharaj brought the Ganges. Whatever that hole they dug, through that hole Ganges went all the way down to Patala and then liberated those people. Liberated all those people. So that is how the connection is. So when Sugriva says that when you go to this golden land, you will see Anantashesh there. And you will see Ashtadigajas there. So how can monkeys can see the Shesha which is below 100,000 yojanas below? Okay, the Bhumandal looks like a flat disk. Okay, if you go horizontally, how can you see something below 100,000 yojanas? So all these pastimes they combine together and they say that. So by these descriptions, we'll understand that here is a substantial ground for us to conceive that the seven islands with their surrounding oceans are not flat like a single rupee coin, but they take a terraced shape of arrangement. Thus, the Pushkara Dvipa is 2 lakh yojanas lower than the upper edge of the basket like Jambudvipa. They conclude that the Pushkara Dvipa is 2 lakh yojanas lower than the Jambudvipa. Lower than the upper edge of the basket like Jambudvipa. And the surface of Ganodaka beyond the region of darkness is in line with the Pushkara Dvipa. The location of hells is slightly above this line. So this one paragraph, according to them, so is that the Bhumandala is not like a flat rupee coin. It takes the shape of a terra structure. So that this kind of understanding will help us to say that what is described in Bhagavatam is actually true. Bhagavatam talks about Uttarayana, Dakshinayana and Vishuvayana. And also Bhagavatam says that planet Earth is part of Bharatavarsha, which is at the center of whole Bhumandala. And Bhagavatam says that sun is located at a height of 100,000 yojanas. If on a flat Bhumandala, the Earth is located just at the center, sun is located at 100,000 yojanas above the Bhumandala, how can someone say that sun goes in the northern direction, sun goes in the southern direction of the planet Earth? If it is like this, sun can never go down. Okay? Because Earth is here on the surface. The sun is here always. Sun can go above, but he can never go below the Earth. So for that to happen, and the sun to be at the height of 1 lakh yojanas above Bhumandala, Bhumandala should be like a terrace shape. Not in like this. Like our temple Govram is there, no? Like that central portion is projecting upward, the all around it is going gradually downward. For example, one example what is given is that this. We can see this is like a mountain area. In the middle it is above, gradually it is coming down. This is what is called terrace shape. So when it is like this, the sun is located here. The distance of sun is about 100,000 yojanas it can be. So then sun can come on the same line with earth. Because of this, sun can go above and below. Both are possible. So in this way, the statements of Bhagavatam can be proven right. That's how they say. And the second thing, they say that this Pushkara Dvipa is 2 lakh yojanas below the top of Jambudvipa. In the Jambudvipa, we have Mount Meru, whose height is around 84,000 yojanas above the surface of Jambudvipa. So 84,000, from that if you remove, from 2 lakhs, 2 lakhs if you remove 84,000, it will be 1,16,000. So the sun is said to be above the Bhumandala 1 lakh yojanas. So in that way, it can come in line with Earth. Sun, that one. So I'll show you some images will come next. In that way, it will be clear. So this is the whole 7 dvipas and 7 oceans. This is what the Prithvi they describe. No, that is also part of golden land. The golden land is further divided into golden land, diamond land, according to them. So in that only 2 divisions are there. Yeah, that is Andhatamas, the region of complete darkness. Itself is Andhatamas. No, that Andhatamas also extend more than Loka, because their dimensions are bigger in that way. So this is how the whole Bhumandala. In the previous image it was like a flat disc. So this is how they say. Gradually as you go inside, it is going upward. So here we see, this is Mansuttar mountain. The sun is moving above this mountain at a height of 1 lakh yojanas. So according to Bhugola Varanam, from this point to the top of Jambudipa, that is Mount Meru's peak, it is 2 lakh yojanas. The distance in the height is 2 lakh yojanas. The Mount Meru itself is close to 1,84,000. So from the surface of Jambudipa, that is where planet Earth is located, from here to this Mansuttar mountain, it's little more than 1 lakh yojanas. Sun is said to be at the height of 1 lakh yojanas. So in that way, this Jambudipa and Sun both are on the same line. So that helps us to understand Uttarayana, Dakshinayana can happen. Sun can go below also, below Earth. So that is the understanding given by Madhva scholars. Highest proof. That is the description they gave in the previous paragraph we read. From the top of Jambudipa to Pushkar Dipa, the distance is 2 lakh yojanas. That is stated. So the 2 lakh yojanas will help us to understand that planet Earth and Sun are on the same line. Because 1 lakh yojanas above the surface of planet Bhumandala and 1 lakh yojanas below. And Sun is said to be 1 lakh yojanas above Mansuttar mountain. So in that way, Sun is in line with Bhumandala. So it's like that. Because in the Pushkar Dipa, in the middle of the Pushkar Dipa, there is Mansuttar mountain. Above the Mansuttar mountain only Sun is moving. That's what yesterday we discussed. That is horizontal distance. This is vertical height. This is in terms of height. This is height. This is not the horizontal. Height is like this. Height like this. Sorry. From here to here, like this. Height. Top of the Mount Meru to Pushkar Dipa, in terms of height, it is 2 lakh yojanas. So this is Lokaloka mountain. You see, this is the Lokaloka mountain surrounding the Vajralepa, the gold diamond land. Same images. Okay, this is what we have shown yesterday also. How the Lokaloka mountain is situated. This is the Lokaloka mountain. Yesterday also we have shown. The inside area is bright because of the sun rays. Outside it is darkness. This is the boundary of that. So description of the Jambudipa. After describing entire Bhumandala, now they go on to describe Jambudipa. They say that Jambudipa should be considered as being basket-like in shape because it is said that the sun, the moon and the stars do not shed their light in Jambudipa. For example, yesterday we discussed Ilavruta Varsha has got mountains in four directions. So each mountain height is 10,000 yojanas. Adjacent to that also many more mountains are there. Each mountain is 10,000 yojanas. If sun is on the same line of planet Earth or Bharata Varsha or Jambudipa, how can sunlights go into the land which is blocked by 10,000 yojanas height mountain? So in the Ilavruta Varsha there is no sunlight. That is the understanding. So Jambudipa is a vast land containing 9 varshas, having Golden Meru at its center. It is the midmost island with a diameter of 1 lakh yojanas. So it is basket-like, no sunlight in Ilavruta Varsha. It contains 9 varshas, Golden Meru at its center, 1 lakh yojanas in. So the yesterday we have seen so many images. In the book also we see so many images about Jambudipa with straight lines. All the mountains are shown straight. But here, they show the mountains in a different way, not exactly straight lines. How do they show? This is the four mountains surrounding Ilavruta Varsha. Instead of straight mountains, these two mountains, this is shown like this. This is a straight line. This is shown like a straight line. And these two mountains shown the mountain joining those two. But here, they show like this. There is a special reason for this also. These are other four mountains on the other side. And they say two more extra mountains this side and this side. And Ilavruta Varsha, they say, these are 8 mountains and these are 4 mountains on which 4 trees are there. This is Kesharachala mountain. Same as described in Bhagavatam only, but little bit difference. And they say that this island is circular. Okay. They say that this is the Lord's wonderful creation of the dualistic way. So Lord has created this Jambudvipa in such a way, showing His excellence in creation. You see, this is symmetric in all four directions. Every direction is same. And Bhagavatam stated yesterday, we discussed, every dvipa is about a width of 9,000 yojanas. We discussed about this vertical, this height-wise, we said everything is 9,000 yojanas. But horizontally, we said that these two areas are not 9,000, this is 31. If we have two mountains in between, what will happen? This also become 9,000. So they say that. So Sukadeva Goswami said 9,000. So we have to prove everything is 9,000. And they say that actually there are two more big mountains here. They make this land also 9,000 each. So it's like that. So these are the names of the varshas. These are the names of the mountains. These are the names of the additional mountains. So Jatara, Devakuta, Pavana and Pariyartha. Okay. One more information. Yeah. I about to explain that only. Actually, these two mountains also have the same names. And these two mountains have these two names. And Vadratirtha says that these two mountains are there, na? These two mountains, there are two more same mountains, the same name. They are there here, in this last mountain. This Shrungavan mountain, one is here, one is here. And these two mountains, this is, yesterday we discussed, this is Kailash mountain, this is Karavira. This Kailash and Karavira, again they exist here in this Himalaya mountain. Here is Kailasha. Here is Karavira. Okay. Yesterday we were discussing that this whole land is called Bharatavarsha. So this itself has got divided into 9 parts. This bottommost part is also called Bharatavarsha. If this bigger Himalayan mountain has got two mountains on the adjacent, one is Kailasha, one is Karavira. So whatever exists in the bigger Himalayas also exists the Himalayas within our planet Earth. This Kailash mountain is also there in the Himalayas. On the eastern side, if anybody visited Himalayas, you can understand. Eastern side is Kailash. Okay? And wherever Kailash is there, that is the abode of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is said to be staying in Kailash mountain. So Lord Shiva is there in this current our Himalayas. Lord Shiva is also there in this Himalayas. Lord Shiva is also there in this here Kailash mountain. And one Lord Shiva is there in Atala Vitala. So like that, there are 11 Rudras, they can simultaneously stay at 11 places. So that is how we have to understand. Which curse? That Karswala is this one. This one, this is the Karswala. Ilavata Varsha. So here we see, here little bit clear, the dimensions whatever we discussed. Na? From the top to the Pushkar Dvipa, it is 2 lakh yojanas. This is 1 lakh yojanas. So this can be 1 lakh yojanas. 1 lakh plus 1 lakh. This is not exactly 1 lakh, but I am just round figuring. So 1 lakh plus 1 lakh, 2 lakhs. In that way, the planet Earth, which is situated very close to Mount Meru here in Jambudvipa, it comes in line with Sun. Okay? These two are there. I will explain one thing afterwards, we'll take. So, in the Bhagavatam yesterday, we have seen whole Bhumanda like a flat disk. If it is a flat disk, if sun is moving in Pushkara Dvipa here, the sun rays, can't they go all the way here? They can go. The whole Bhumandala can be bright all the way throughout the 24 hours time. But if Bhumandala is like this, if sun is here, can sunlight can pass through this area? So this area will be dark. When sun goes, moving in a circular fashion, when he goes here, this area will become black. In that way, half of the Bhumandala will be bright, half of the Bhumandala will be dark. Because of this reason, Privrat Maharaj manifested himself as a second sun and made this area also bright. So, to reconcile all these things, they say that this Bhumandala should have a terrace type of structure. It should not be a plane, flat disk. So, because of this, they say that sun can go in the northern direction and southern direction, that can cause Uttarayana and Dakshinayana time changes in our planet Earth. Yes, Prabhu, somebody was saying. Yes. Yes. Not whole Jambudvipa, half of. Yeah. Because sun is also going up and down. So at some time it is below 16,000. At some time it will be on par with Earth, na? that way we have to understand. So 1 lakh not necessarily equinox. It can be like Dakshinayana, like Makar Sankranti day. Makar Sankranti day is the sun is southernmost. So 1 lakh could be on that day. So 1,16,000 could be equinox. So more than 1,16,000 could be. Like exact details of the dimensions, we have to wait for Prem Gauranga Prabhu to reveal all those details. So for now, we are trying to understand the principle. So this kind of arrangement can help us to understand Uttarayana Dakshinayana. In a flat disk, that will be difficult to understand how Uttarayana Dakshinayana happening. And how half of the Bhumandala is dark, half of the Bhumandala is bright. Cannot be explained properly. So with this. And the Ramayana description. When monkeys, if the monkeys go all the way here, Pushkar Dvipa, if they go little further, they almost touch the base of Bhumandala. Because this is said 1 lakh below. So they can see Anantashesh who is holding Bhumandala here. So Sugriva said that is the region from where you can see Anantashesh. So don't go further. So he can come, they have to come back. So in that way Ramayana statements also reconciled. Uttarayana Dakshinayana we'll discuss tomorrow. So for now Uttarayana Dakshinayana basically sun is going upward and downward. This is actually true north. Upward, the point to Meru, the pole star type side is actual true north in the universe. So sun is going towards actual north is called Uttarayana. Sun is going towards actual south is Dakshinayana. So simple to observe, we are here only for next 1 year. Nowadays if you see, sun is rising here and setting here. Yes? And if you keenly observe every week, every month, this gradually it goes inside. Sun will observe next week here, set will here. Next month here, set here. After 6 months, he will go all the way to this corner of this mountain. In this mountain, you can really see. Sun is rising here, and after 6 months, he will rise here. And he will set here. So in the actual geography, this is the true south, this is the true north. Yesterday, we discussed about it. So, sun is going from Makar Sankranti all the way up to July towards north. Yes? Going towards north. Every day, gradually going up, up, upward, upward. And from July all the way up to January is going towards south. That is called Dakshinayana. So Bhagavad Gita chapter 18. If somebody passes during Uttarayana, he will go to heaven. Somebody passes during Dakshinayana, he will go to hell. Following the path of sun. Because sun is going towards heaven. Heaven is on the northern side. So they will also go along with the path of sun to heaven. During Dakshinayana, if somebody passes their life, along with the path of sun, they will go to lower planets or hell. Okay, even in, if you remember, second canto, first chapter, or even second chapter, the movement of Krama Mukta. How he goes? He first goes to Vaishvanara Loka, then Shishumna Nadi, all this, he goes to Agni, and he goes to Dhruva Loka, then he goes to Mahar Loka, Jana Loka, Tapa Loka, Satya Loka. He stays there as long as Brahma is living, then he will go, he will cross through the 6-7 layers of the universe, then he will enter into impersonal Brahman. So that is the way Krama Mukta goes step by step. So this is how we can reconcile all the things. It is same. Still it is same, 1 lakh Yojanas. Yeah, we'll discuss that also tomorrow. Little bit about moon. Ours is simple globe, na Prabhuji? If globe ka one side of sun is there, other side will be dark.
But when our sun goes beyond the
Meru, okay. Meru will discuss, after few slides we'll discuss about Meru. So Meru does not affect. Greater Himalayas also does not affect. Why? We'll discuss. Just few minutes. So this is clear, at least this concept, whatever they are trying to propose in Bhugola Varanam. So this will help us to understand few phenomena like Uttarayana, Dakshinayana, day and night in the Bhumandala. These things, it makes it clear. At least from principle point of view. Details point of view, we have to do much more research to understand. Okay. Yeah, yesterday we discussed about this image, this is from video. The whole Bharatavarsha divided into 9 parts. So according to Madhva scholar, the divisions are like this, okay? These are the 9 divisions. This is the bottommost division, is the 9th division. That we have, yesterday at least, theoretically we have said that this is planet Earth. we have to consider this has to be planet Earth. Quoting all the references from this thing. So they say that our globe, Bharatakanda, is perked to stick up or jut out at the southern edge of the basket like Jambudvipa. These are notes, I am not putting the slides. So they say that our globe, which is shown in the previous image of the ninth division, this ninth division is our globe. Okay? So this is actually perked at the edge of basket like Jambudvipa. So the nine divisions, they show like this. Whatever nine divisions are there in the Bharatavarsha, they show like this. So the planet Earth, our globe, is not a planet going around the sun. Since childhood, we have always heard that sun is the center, all the planets are moving. Our Earth is moving around itself and also going around sun. They straight away say that it is not a planet going around the sun. This concept is substantiated by the statements of one Sri Anantaramu of Bangalore. He is a scientist, of astronomical scientist. What he says, because he actually journeyed in the crew of the first Indian Antarctic expedition. This scientist, whose name is Anantaramu, he actually traveled along with the crew which went to excavate the Antarctic region, that is South Pole. He actually present in that. He says that the South Pole region projects downwards like a cone. He also says that this region has not been properly surveyed. The South Pole region is not properly surveyed by the modern scientists. Therefore, it is indeed a flat lie to say that the South Pole region is slightly flat like the North Pole region. So in a globe, if you take the North Pole region is flat on the top. So if they say South Pole also flat, that is a flat lie like that they are saying. Because it is projected like a cone. So all of you must be experienced. We'll see what your experience here in GV. So these nine, when you see from the front side, they look like this. So when you see from the side view, how they look like, only the last two are shown. So this is saltwater ocean, the bottom one, which is around Jambudvipa. And this is the eighth division. Whatever we have shown the nine divisions in the previous image, this is the eighth division. For example, if you go, these are the nine divisions. Okay, this is the last one whose height and width diameter is 1000 yojana. So that one is like this. This is the ninth one, this is the eighth one. So they said that it is not a moving planet and it is not a spherical also. In the bottom side, it is like a cone structure. This is the cone, they say. The bottom cone is there, this is the cone. So this is somewhat similar to the cone ice cream. If you had the experience, you have got a cone, they put an ice cream ball on top of that cone. How that look like? That is how the planet Earth looks like. This is as per the Madhva scholars. So this cone is actually made out of water. This entire saltwater ocean is there, this is solid in nature. This is also solid. This is the whole planet Earth. And there are substantial references they give is that all the space expeditions, all the rockets, satellites they launched, they all happen either in the horizontal direction or in the vertical direction, not in the bottom, southern direction, either northern direction or eastern or western directions. So these are the maximum flight routes or satellite routes what we can have, like that they show. These are this, you see, this is like this, or like this. These are the maximum flight routes or satellite routes what we can have. This is the understanding they present. So till now, none of them sent any satellites in the South Pole side. That is the understanding they present. So one understanding we can have is that if you see the world map actually, it is like this. This is the line of equator, more or less line of equator. So most of the Earth is situated above the line of equator. Even out of 100%, land is only 29%. In the 29%, maximum land is in the northern side, northern hemisphere. Only small Earth content is there in the southern side. And the water which is spread all over the world, most of it is water in nature, but on the southern pole, most of it is solid in nature. This water, the Antarctic, is most of it is icy in nature. So in this also will help us to understand. So what they are telling, this conical structure is also has a connection to it. So can we see that conical structure? That we don't know, they did not say anything. But just to show some understanding, I have put these slides. They say that there are no flight routes in this area. This Antarctica, if there is no conical structure, then there should have been flight routes from South Africa to South America and South Australia to South Africa, like that. These three kinds of flight routes can be existing. If there is no cone, if this land is accessible, there should have been flight routes. So you may say, how do you know that that is right or not? So we'll refer to the history, what history says. So during 1960s all the way up to 1990s, these are the major flight routes from Africa to South America. These are the different flight routes. Even if they can go from here to here, which is very nearby, they go to here and then they come back. They would never travel from here to here. There are a couple of reasons for that. One thing is that if flight has to land because of shortage of fuel, where they will land, there is all ocean only. They cannot land. If they travel above the planet Earth, they can do it whenever, wherever they want. They can land here and then go ahead. That is one reason. So then later on, due to advancement, there are many more flight routes traveling from Australia to South Africa, from there to South America. There are so many flight routes. But none of them are through this one, South Pole. They are still above the South Pole only. So later on, again, further expanded. So like this. But none of them are through South Pole. Even the summary of all these things, 1960s to 1990s, the routes are mainly primarily existing in, here India is here, this is Asia and Europe, this is America and Europe, this is Eastern Europe, Japan, Asia and all, this is other areas. So later on, they had throughout the North Pole, they have so many flight routes. Throughout the North Pole, they have so many flight routes. But even till 2010, there are no flight routes through South Pole. So this is the South Pole, which is actually shown as a ice. So what Madhva scholars are saying, we can actually see through these slides that flights cannot go through that area. Whether somebody gone, something happened, we don't know, but they cannot go. And even I have seen some documentary, they say that this land is not allowed for any ordinary man to go there. No one is allowed to go to South Pole. The government, European government or US, they have put strict restrictions. No one can go there. Only authorized people can go there, just like Area 51. So in the Hollywood, they made so many movies on this. They have considered this planet Earth not like a sphere. They have considered this to be like a flat Earth. There, some people, they considered the whole Earth not like a sphere. They considered this to be flat. So this image you see, it is a flat. Okay, this is the North Pole. This is the whole thing is South Pole. The whole circle is South Pole. When you expand this south like this. So they say that if any living entity, he travels all the way from here to here, here, here. When he reaches here, when you cross this, this is the golden wall, they call it. When you cross this golden wall, you will enter into heaven. That is the understanding of those documentary film presents. There are so many movies made on this. This is the end wall of the universe, golden wall, something like that. So whoever goes to this area, they will never come back. Either they have gone to heaven or we don't know. That is the understanding of that movie. So that is the understanding they say. So whatever, at least for some time, even now also I don't know, but normal people cannot go to South Pole. They are not allowed to go. But different countries have their own respective research centers. They may be there on the boundary. This here on the boundary, the research center may be there, may not be inside. Somewhere they must be there, the research centers. So that is the way we can, what the Madhva scholars are saying, we can also have some conception through these slides. So later on, NASA people also told that the Earth is like a pear-shaped Earth. Pear, our Mangalbog, they cut every day. So this is the pier. They actually say like this. This can be like this. If you invert it like this, that is what we have discussed till now, what Madhva say. If you invert this pier, the South Pole, if it is like the beginning of the pier, so it is like that. They say like this, but whatever it is. So some say it is like this. Some say it is like this. Not exactly spherical, but it is arbitrary shape. So different people have different concepts, how exactly the Earth is. So these are few things. Satellite images. Hmm. At least we are trying to understand the theory. But our concept is not to challenge science or another thing. We are trying to understand from Vedic point of view. So because yesterday we were discussing that, I don't know whether we discussed it. Science say that a smaller object can move around a bigger object. Okay? So that's why they say that sun is the biggest thing. So around sun all the planets are moving. So but at least from Vedic understanding, planet Earth is not just planet Earth. Planet Earth is an insignificant part of entire Bhumandala. So entire Bhumandala is the biggest thing in the entire universe. So everything else should move around Bhumandala. So sun should move around Bhumandala. This is the logic of scriptures. So that's how wherever everywhere it says sun is moving. So now we'll understand few concepts. Why Mount Meru, bigger Himalayas and Jambudvipa are not seen by us? So these are very close to us. Sun is very far, we are able to see. Moon is very far, we are able to see. But the adjacent 8 dvipas of Bharatavarsha we are not able to see. And the bigger Himalayas we are not able to see. And so many things we are not able to see. Why we are not able to see? This is some question. So some understanding given by the Madhva scholars will try to see that. Because they are different composition. Though all the places are made by 5 elements, earth, water, fire, and ether, but their composition is different. We cannot see them. Adrishya dātava sarve samutpanna jala adaya. Though they are made up of earth, water, fire, ether, they are adrishya. They cannot be seen by with our eyes. So they say that the question is, will our scientists ever get over the human tendency of succumbing to pride and prejudice in order to know the truth? The scientists believe only on pratyaksha. What I see is right. Based on this, whatever they see through their pratyaksha, they will extrapolate and they will understand other things. So they say, what I see is right. So here the Madhva scholars are saying, will they use a little introspection to shift from mere physical to the spiritual? Why do they want to rely only on pratyaksha? Can't they go to Shabda Praman? So let the wise build up a growing community to save the world from the darkness of materialism. Let them hold the torch of spiritual light. Let there be a renaissance of religious culture based on revelation. So this Bhaktivedanta Institute every year conducts this science and spiritual synthesis. That's a seminar they conduct at different places. That is just to harmonize science and scriptures both together. So they also, in the same line, they are telling that we let there be a renaissance of religious culture based on revelations. Not only just depending on Pratyaksha and Anuman, let us reconcile science and scriptures. So how to understand this concept of Adrushya Dātava Sarve Samutpanna Jala Adaya? How they are imperceivable? So for example, we take water. Water we observe in 3 phases. So one is solid. We can hold it in our hand like ice block. So other one is water. We can hold it in our hand. But the solid does not move on its own. But this water can, if you leave it, it will move. Even if you don't leave it also, it finds a hole and it goes away. But the same water in a subtle state, more subtle state. This is evaporating. Water is evaporating from a lake. This we cannot actually see. This image is actually taken through a binoculars thing. Through that actually you can see the evaporating water. So water in moisture state you cannot see. But it is still water. We cannot see. The same water in 3 different states, we perceive it in different way. So there is another example. The earth element, it is in 3 states. So dust, we can actually hold and we can carry it. The mud, it is actually skids from our hand. If you want to hold it, it will skid. But the actual dust, which is mixed in the air, it is everywhere, but we cannot see every time. Now here also a lot of dust is there, but we cannot see. So in that way, so the elements are same, but in different state they cannot be perceived. In some state they are perceived very strong, in some place they are not at all perceived. So that is the understanding they express. So then again third example they give, that gold in the material world is jada. The gold which we experience, the regular through the ornament, that is jada, that has no consciousness. But the same gold in the spiritual world is chinmaya. So His Holiness Radha Govind Swami Maharaj says that, so the gold which we experience in the material world is jada, the 24 karat gold is jada. He says it is bakwas gold. बट भगवत धाम में जो स्वर्ण है ना वो चिन्मय, वो भगवान से आदान प्रदान करते हैं, भगवान से बात करते हैं. सो भगवान से पूछते हैं, आप कैसे लग रहा है मेरा, यू आफ्टर वेयरिंग मी हाउ डू यू फील, आर यू हैप्पी, लाइक दैट दे आस्क द लॉर्ड, दे स्पीक टू द लॉर्ड. सो दैट्स वॉट वी हियर एवरी संडे वी रिसेट ना चिन्मय अदे चिंतामणि प्रकर सत्मचु कल्पवृक्ष, लाइक एवरी स्टोन इज चिंतामणि स्टोन एंड एवरी ट्री इज कल्पवृक्ष, लाइक दैट एवरीथिंग इज चिन्मय इन द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड. दे स्पीक टू द लॉर्ड, दे हैव लाइफ, दे आर ऑल चेतना, फिल्ड विथ चेतना. So, in the material world, they are Jada. In the spiritual world, they are Chinmaya. So, the heavenly planets come somewhere in the middle. So, they should be, they are neither Jada nor Chinmaya. They should be having some middle level properties. They can be subtle. So, that is understanding is expressed. So, heaven, they can be subtle. Whenever the demigods appear, they appear along with their jewelry. When they disappear, the jewelry also disappears. So, in our case, we wear jewelry, we keep the jewelry, it can be seen. Even the person is not there, jewelry can be seen. This is a crude example I am giving. But whatever, so the elements which are in the heavenly realm, they also get the properties of demigods. They are also on par with the demigods. Just like the gold in the spiritual world is Chinmaya. This is also on par with the Supreme Lord. So these, their abodes are also on par with the demigods. They are also subtle in nature. They can appear to us. Sometimes they cannot appear to us sometimes. If the demigods want to show themselves to us, they will appear along with their abodes. If they don't want to show us, they will not appear. The same way, though all the places in the Bharatavarsha or Jambudipa, Mount Meru, they are very close to us, we cannot see them because their nature is subtle. They are not like grass like our existence. So, this is one way to understand. So this is some technical details which is about creation. We will not go much details. So they say that how to understand this composition is different. They say that all these elements, the primary component of each element is about 120%. The other four elements also there in each element about 20-20%. Just like we said, this ether also contains some air, some moisture. The ether in itself is 120%. The moisture is 20%. And dust is 20%. Like fire is 20%. Like that all the elements are actually combined. So like that. The earth element also contains water 20%, fire 20%, like that. So this is how they say. So then, they say that, so how the whole universe is manifested. First, the subtle elemental elements are manifested. Okay, first when Garbhodaksha, first the 24 elements are formed, they formed Hiranyakasipu. Bhumandala, not Bhumandala, the Hiranyakasipu, whole golden egg. Then Garbhodaksha Vishnu entered into it. Then he did not find anything. Then he created water. He filled it with the first lower half. So they say that the first water principle is manifested. Garbhodaksha Vishnu created water. Then it has become condensed as harder as Ganodaka. The Garbhodaka, they call it as Gana Udaka. The water transformed into solid. So that then the rest of the half is filled with sky. So then in the solid water there are some minerals formed. So because of that, the minerals formation, the upper portion of the water transformed into Bhumandala. So that is how they stay. So in that way, first water is formed, then space is formed, then the planet Earth is formed by the formation of minerals. This is how the universe is forming. That's what they say. So this is first water, then sky, then Bhumandala formed. This is how the universe is manifested, like that they explain. So they conclude saying that, have the scientists found at least one more solar system within our own galaxy? Scientists many times they say that there are so many galaxies, there are so many planets, solar planet system, there are so many Earths and other solar planets. But have they really able to see them directly going there? So that's what the question they pose. So are there any galaxies seen in the southern celestial hemisphere? Are there any galaxies seen in the southern hemisphere? Southern side, because southern side if they see, they're supposed to see the Bhumandala. But according to the previous explanation, they cannot see the Bhumandala because it is made of different, same element but in a different composition. If not, what is there beyond there in the south side? So the scientists actually say that in the southern side, in the southern side, they actually see some clouds, two clouds. They name the clouds as megalonic clouds. They say that megalonic clouds. We speak of sun solar system within the millions of galaxies. Have the scientists found at least one more solar system with our own galaxy? So we speak of galaxies of different types. So if not, what is there in the south? For the information of scientists, it may be said, what looks like a galaxy is just a cluster of millions of divine vehicles in the form of stars, racing at unimaginable velocities around the upper worlds. So they say the stars which we see in the space throughout the night, they are actually the vehicles of the demigods, different demigods moving in their different vehicles. Sometimes we see the one star is running here to here, here to here. That is actually that particular demigod is traveling at that speed. That is what they say. Most of the stars are actually the chariots of the demigods. There are star-like planets, the abodes of Yakshas, Guhyas, and the like, Kinaras, Kimpurushas, in the southern sky up to a certain extent. So in all directions, there are these lesser demigods, they are living. So that's why we see the stars in all four directions. Even the southern direction also we see so many stars. There are nothing but the vehicles of all the lesser demigods. That's what the understanding given by these Madhva scholars. So they conclude saying that, excepting the agnostics among the scientists who have built up prejudicial complexes in themselves, all other great scientists have admitted the limitations of human knowledge and have declared that the mystery about the beginning is ever a mystery for them. So there are some good scientists also, they accept that we cannot understand the origin of the universe very clearly. It is still mystery. So like that. So from Srila Prabhupada's viewpoint, whatever we read in the beginning of today's presentation, the mountains on earth and universe, they are all different dimensions. We cannot reconcile them just with our mundane vision. So Prabhupada says, be satisfied with the statements of authorities and appreciate how Lord's external energy manifests in the cosmos. Our experimental knowledge can neither verify nor disprove the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what we read in the beginning of today's presentation. So then how to reconcile? Do the places really exist? Scientists are telling nothing exists other than Earth. And scriptures are telling all these are existing. So any references for this, they are discussing about their existence. Some past times, just we see the references. In the first canto, 16th chapter, 13th verse, Parikshit Maharaj says, about Parikshit Maharaj, Sutta Goswami says, Badrashvam kelu maketu malam cha bharatam chotaran kurun kimpurushadini varshani vijitya jagrihe balim. As soon as he became king, he traveled all over the Jambudvipa. He conquered all these places. See, what are these places? He went to Badrashva, Ketumala, and Bharatavarsha, and Uttarakuru Varsha, and Kimpurushadini Varshani. He went all over the Bharatavarsha, he conquered all the places. This is what Parikshit Maharaj did as soon as he became an emperor. So that means the whole Jambudvipa is under the control of Parikshit Maharaj. Even up to the point of Parikshit Maharaj, it was under the control of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj actually ruling here in Bharatakanda. But he traveled all the way up to Uttarakuru and subjugated all of them and made them become subservient to him. And then another reference, 1:12:5:6. Sampada kurta voloka maheshi prataro mahi jambudvipadi patyamcha yashascha tridivam gatam. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is considered as a jambudvipadipati. He is the Lord monarch of whole Jambudvipa. So in Mahabharata, various references will prove this fact. So in their birth, actually Pandavas have appeared in Greater Himalayas. The Pandu Maharaj went, after renouncing the kingdom, he went all the way up to the 100 peaked mountain. There is a mountain, Shata Ketu, something like that. So that mountain is actually in the Greater Himalayas. Pandavas are actually born in Greater Himalayas. And during Rajasuya sacrifice, all the four Pandavas went in four directions, conquered all the kingdoms. Arjuna went in the northern direction. And he went all the way, not Uttarakuru, he went all the way up to Harivarsha. He conquered all these places and he went up to Harivarsha. When he went to Harivarsha, people from all these places, the leaders of all these places came to here. And they told Arjuna, Arjuna, you cannot go ahead. You cannot go ahead, that is not meant for human beings. You please go back from here. So we'll accept Yudhishthira Maharaj's rule. And they gave a lot of money. Arjuna collected a lot of money. When that money placed in that Indravastha, the width of that money, that golden jewels, ornaments, everything is about 400 yojanas. So that much money he collected. So that's why he got the name of Dhananjaya. He collected a lot of wealth. Something like that. That was Mahabharata says. So then birth and Rajasu sacrifice. And one of us, during one of us, Arjuna went to Mount Kailash. That is in the bigger Himalayas. To satisfy Lord Shiva, to get Pashupatastra. So after satisfying Lord Shiva, after getting Pashupatastra, he went to heaven, Swarga. So in the meantime, on the earth, 4-5 years passed. So Pandavas were feeling very unsatisfied with the absence of Arjuna. They wanted to meet Arjuna as soon as possible. Then they went all the way up to this upper Himalayas, where they visited Badrikashram of Vyasadev. Actual Vyasadev is still living there. They visited Badrikashram. Then they visited this Kuvera abode, Alakapuri. So there the pastime goes that during that time, one day Draupadi saw one lotus flower falling down from the waterfall. She requested Bhima to get some more lotus flowers. So when he went up, on the way he met one monkey. So he requested monkey to go away from the path. The monkey said that, I am old monkey, I cannot move. You please lift my tail and you can go ahead. When Bhima tried to lift that tail, he could not lift. Then he begged forgiveness and asked, who are you, great personality? I could not lift you, means you must be very great personality. Then he revealed that he is a Hanuman. Then that time Hanuman says that actually, this is the boundary between the land of human beings and the land of monkeys. You cannot go ahead. Actually, Hanumanji is indicating that if you cross this, you will enter into Kimpurusha Varsha, which is not meant for human beings. So you cannot enter into Kimpurusha Varsha. So that is the one reference. And then Hanumanji indicates the pond where he can get the lotus flower. When he went there, the Yakshas stopped him, he fought with them. Then Pandavas all met Kuvera. So that pastimes all took place. That means Kuvera's abode is also there in the bigger Himalayas. And then during Swargarohara Pandava Mahabharata, so they all mounted this greater Himalayas. From there they went all the way up to Mount Meru. From mounting that, they went to actual heaven. Gandhamadana mountain, from there they went to actual heaven. From there they went ahead. That in the Pandava's life, they have access to all these places. We do not have access. So these are some photos. This Pandu Maharaj died. Not Pandu Maharaj. Pandu Maharaj killed a Brahmana. Afterwards, he was cursed to leave. So then he renounced his kingdom and then he went to that place. Pandu Maharaj, along with his two wives, they were going to the place where all the sages would live, the upper Himalayas. So then Arjuna, actually, after defeating Bhagadatta, he went all the way up to Uttarakuru Andal during the Rajasu sacrifice. For that, he went all the way up. So this is Arjuna fighting with Lord Shiva in the greater Himalayas. So Kirata, Lord Shiva appeared as a hunter. Okay, then Bhima lifting the tail of old monkey. This also happened in the upper Himalayas. Yeah, Bhima fighting with all the Yakshas in the same upper Himalayas. Then Pandavas going back to Godhead. This is Swargarohana Parva. They were going through this upper Himalayas. They went all the way up to Gandhamadana. From there they went ahead. So Pandavas have access to these places. We don't have, but they had, because they are great souls. Then other references. Recently Madhvacharya also went to upper Badri. He went all the way up to lower Badri to recite Mahabharata commentary to Narnaran Rishi, Badri Vishalakshi deities. Then he heard a voice, you please come up. Vyasadeva called him to upper Badri. He just jumped, because he is Vayudev himself. He jumped from lower Badri to upper Badri, which is at a height of 10,000 yojanas. He went all the way up. And he took the instructions from Vyasadeva. He came back and he commented on Brahma Sutras. Then he traveled all over India. He preached Brahma Sutras. Then again he went to upper Badri. That time Vyasadeva told that, you go and write commentary on Mahabharata. Then he wrote Mahabharata Tatparanirnaya. So it's like two times he went to that upper Badri. So then, in the fourth canto, there are some references. In the sixth chapter, it said that at the foot of Kailasha, demigods saw Alakapuri and Saugandhika forest. This is Lord Brahma taking all the demigods to appease Lord Shiva after Daksha episode. So all the demigods were mutilated by Virabhadra. Then they want to appease Lord Shiva. That time, while they were going, Alakapuri description comes and Saugandhika forest, from which Lord Bhima and Bhima Sen got the flowers, lotus flowers. So Rudranuchara Sevitam Dadarsha Himavad Dronyam. Dhruva Maharaj, after hearing the death of his brother by Yakshas, he became very angry. He went all the way up to Himavad Dronyam at the lower peaks of greater Himalayas. So Dhruva Maharaj also went to Himalayas and he fought with the Yakshas. And Kardama Muni, along with his wife, traveled in the valleys of the Mount Meru in his aerial mansion. This is 323. So at the Meru's foot in Sukumara forest, Sudyumna became a woman. So Sudyumna, if this comes in 9th canto, unknowingly entered into that area where Durga Devi cursed. He became a woman in that area. So like that, various references. And in the Ramayana, monkeys on the eastern side direction, in the search of Mother Sita, they went all the way up to Golden Land and came back. So this is how Sugriva is instructing all the monkeys to go in 4 directions. So this is the Golden Land and Diamond Land, they went all the way there. And then other references, these are 9th canto, these are all mostly. The King Maruta, Ambarish Maharaj, King Mandata and King Sagra, they are said to be the kings of 7 Dvipas. They are the monarchs of all 7 Dvipas. These are various references, comes in 9th canto. There are some more, Lord Rama and Puru, Bharata, son of Dushyanta and Shakuntala and Kartavirajuna. They are also said to be the Sattva Dvipeshwaro, like that. They are all the lords of all the Dvipas. So in this way we can understand all the references. In Satya Yuga and in Treta Yuga, in these 2 times, the kings had access over all the 7 Dvipas. In Dvapara Yuga, the access is limited to only Jambudvipa. In Kali Yuga, the access is limited only to Bharatakanda. At most we can travel all over Bharatakanda. We cannot go to any other place. Because as time progresses, the people's consciousness also degrades. So they were not given so much access to other places. So that is what we can understand from these references. There is one reference Chakravartipad gives that when Ambarish Maharaj was the emperor of the 7 islands, at that time Puru, the son of Yayati, became Yayati was ruling in Bharatavarsha. When Ambarish Maharaj was the emperor, Ayayati was ruling Bharatavarsha. But later on, Yayati's son Puru, who accepted the old age of his father because of that sacrifice, he became the emperor of the entire 7 Dvipas. So what Chakravartipa said that if a king from solar dynasty is the emperor of 7 Dvipas, a king from lunar dynasty would rule Jambudvipa. So when king of lunar dynasty becomes the emperor, the king of solar dynasty will become the king of Jambudvipa. That's how they interchange now and then, like that. Whenever a powerful king becomes, he will become the overall this thing. So this is another reference from Bhagavatam only. The 60,000 sons of Sagara searching the last earth, they dug up the earth for 70,000 yojanas. That's how they went all the way to meet these 8 elephants. Then they came to Patala, then they caught the deliverance of themselves by being touched by Ganga. So like that, these are some. So limited access from Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga. This is also explained in Bhagavatam 12th canto. Tasas chanu dinam dharma tasthyam saucham kshamadaya kalena balina rajan. Nangshanti, Ayur, Balam, Smriti. So as time progresses, Ayu, Bala and Smriti, these are all reducing. In the Satya Yuga, they were 1 lakh years. Treta Yuga, 10,000 years. Dwapara Yuga, 1,000 years. And Kali Yuga, 100 years. And their strength also decreasing. And Smriti also decreasing. Previously, they were Shrutidharas. They would hear and remember everything. Now we need books, notes, and Bhagavad Subodhinis. All these things to study. So purpose of giving that limited access is only for purification. For Kali Yuga people, if we get the access of all these places, we become tempted to go to all those places, deviating from our practices. So that Lord is merciful that he has not given access to all those places. So that we can... So this is... Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sambitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishreyasaya Lokase Dhanyam Swasi Ayana Mahat. For this purpose, Vyasadev compiled this Bhagavatam for our benefit. So we should focus on this mainly instead of what exactly happening there, how they are situated. So these are some verses I put. How Vyasadev, why Vyasadev compiled? Vyasadev compiled Bhagavatam also for the same reason. Arthopamachamanam Sakshat Bhakti Yoga Madhokshaje Lokasyajanato Vidham Chakre Hashasamita. Because people being bewildered by the influence of Maya, they are considering that they are the product of 3 modes of material nature. The suitable medicine for them is to hear Bhagavatam. For their purpose, Vyasadeva compiled Bhagavatam. Yasyam vai shruyamanayam Krishne Paramapurushe Bhakti Rutpadate Pumsha Shoka Moha Bayapaha. Just by hearing Bhagavatam, we will be freed from Shoka Moha and Baya. Janma karma cha medium, this we discussed. Sorry to keep you for long. We'll have a break now. It's already late. No, we'll continue. Some more is there. Scientists are actually accepting that they cannot understand the origin of the universe. There are many more things which are inconceivable to us. They actually accept. And then the lower seven planets, they actually, if you go into the earth through the bilas, you can go to them. And below that, there is Shesha, who is taking support of Lord Kurma and then carrying the entire Bhumandala. It's like that. These are all described in that. Now in the third part of presentation, now from Bhagavatam again, we'll take verses by from chapter 21 to 26. This presentation contains from 21 to 26 only those essential parts which talks about the places, in which place what is located, in which place what is located. Step by step, all the 14 planet systems, the details are given in this vertical structure of the universe. So it contains chapter 21 to 22. It talks about sun, moon, stars and other planets, the whole Svargaloka. Chapter 23 talks about Shishumara, that is consists of Dhruva Loka and upper planets. Shishumara is planet system, and also talks about upper planets, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. And 24 describes the planets which are there in the Bhuvarloka and Bilaswarga, the lower seven planet system and Bhuvarloka. These are described in chapter 24, and Anandasheshi is described in chapter 25, and Elish planets are described in chapter 26. This is the broad outline of this presentation. So first, the first planet which is just above the Bhumandala is Sun God. So the description, this is actually given in 20th chapter, last four verses. They actually talk about Sun God, where Sun is situated. The Sun God is actually situated in the middle of the universe, when you take in the vertical structure. In the vertical horizontal structure, the middle of the universe is Mount Meru. In the vertical structure, the middle of the universe is Sun. So above the sun and below the sun, there is 250 million yojanas distance to the covering of the universe. Because total is 500, 250 above, 250 below the sun. So he is situated in between Bhurloka and Bhuvarloka. Bhurloka is basically Bhumandala. And Bhuvarloka is actually spread across a distance of 2 lakh yojanas, 0.2 million yojanas. So sun is moving in this area of Bhuvarloka. Basically in the Bhuvarloka only is moving. That is called Antariksha or outer space. Prabhupada calls it as outer space. All of his translations and purports, he writes it as outer space. And sun is called Marthanda because he entered into a dead universe and gave life to it. He entered into a Mruta Anda. Mruta Anda means dead universe. And he gave life to it. Because of sun only we are doing whatever we are doing. If sun is not there, we can't do anything. If sunlight is not there, we can't do anything. So that's why he is called the life-giving force for the entire universe. And he is called Hiranyagarbha. He not only entered alone, he entered along with all the living entities along with him. So basically the subtle principle, subtle living principle, this is Hiranyagarbha. All the living entities in their subtle form, that is represented by sun god. And Suryenahi Vibhajayate, the direction, sky, the earth, and the other divisions, as well as the places of enjoyment, liberation and hell, such as Atala, all are differentiated by sun. Because of sun only, we can see the distinction between different planets. Some planets are called Bhuloka, some are called Bhurloka, some called heavenly planets, some called upper planets, some called Bilaswargas. Because of the sun, because of sun's relationship with those planets, they are named accordingly. And sun is called Drig Ishwara because he is the controlling deity of eye. Without eyes, we can't see anything. And without sun, eye can't show us anything. Because sun is the controlling deity of eye. So that's why he is called Drig Ishwara. And for that reason, he is called the life of all living beings, of the devatas, of the animals, of the humans and reptiles and plants. So every living being has got eyes to see in this universe, in this world. That is actually coming from sun because he is the controlling deity of eyes. Sarva Jiva Nikayanam. So he is the life of all living entities. Hiranyagarbha, because he represents, he is called Hiranyagarbha because he is the very existence of the universe called Hiranyanda, the golden egg. So we have read through in the second and third cantos. From Garbhodaka Shaya Vishnu, when the time comes for creation, a lotus bird comes out of his navel, okay, and that expands further and further and forms the whole universal form. That is actually representing the subtle, that is actually Hiranyagarbha form, that is a subtle manifestation of all the living entities. That universal form consists of all the planets as well as the, all the living entities. And the living entities later on given the bodies by Brahma. So then the subtle body gets grass body. Then they will continue their activities. So that principle is connected to Lord Surya. Because of the presence of Surya only we are able to do our activities. In that way he is giving life to us. If Surya is not there, sunlight is not there, no electricity is there, we can't do anything in this world, in the darkness. So he is the life force, primal life force. So in that way he is called Hiranyagarbha. So now, sun god travels in his own chariot. So that some description about this chariot is given in Bhagavatam. This is actually main important thing. It has only one wheel. This chariot has got only one wheel. Generally, any chariot we see, bullock cart or any chariot, they have got two wheels on either side. But this chariot has got only one wheel. And this wheel is connected to one axle. That axle length is 15.75 million yojanas. Yesterday we were discussing that sun is moving above Manasottara mountain. The radius of the Manasottara mountain is 15.75 million yojanas. That much length is the axis. So that means one side of the axle is connected to Mount Meru, at the base of the Mount Meru. The other side of the axle is connected to wheel. And that wheel is moving above Manasottara mountain. And it is continuously rotates in clockwise direction above Manasottara mountain till the end of Brahma's day. Once it is started in the beginning of Brahma's day, it continues to move on till the end of Brahma's day. That's why in many places it is called Akalpantam. All the planets continue to move till the end of Brahma's day. They are all referred as Akalpantam till the end of Brahma's day. So this moves like the wheel of an oil pressing machine. Yesterday Prabhuji was mentioning that we can take video from our oil pressing machine here. At least we have some images, we will see through that. Just like in oil pressing machine, this chariot will keeps on moving. So this one is the oil pressing machine, what we have here in farm. Not exactly same, but something similar to it. So this is not exactly parallel, but some similarity we can see. This is the first axle of the chariot. So this part is connected here. This part moves in circular fashion, but it does not move here and there. This is the first axle from the center of this grinding system all the way here, and here the wheel is connected. Just in the oil pressing machine there is one more axle to rotate this one. This axle is connected here, this is connected to the motor. When motor revolves here, this will be moving like this. When it is moving like this, this portion will crush whatever is there in this. From that oil comes out. This is the working principle of this. So in the oil pressing machine there is one axle here, there is another axle here. There are two axles. So similarly, the sun's chariot also has two axles. As in the oil pressing machine, the chariot of the sun also has two axles. The first axle is attached to the second axle. How it is attached? The second axle is 1/4 of the first axle. Its length is only 1/4, 3.9 million yojanas. So the lower end is bound to the axle 1, the exactly opposite salt water ocean. The upper end is connected to Dhruva Loka. So by a rope of wind, we'll see that how it is connected. So everything is given in this image, clearly see. So this is Dhruva Loka. Mount Meru. This is the wheel of the chariot which is moving above the Manasottara mountain at a height of 1 lakh yojanas. So this is 1 lakh yojanas. Here is sun god's chariot. This is the first axle. One side is connected to the wheel, other side is connected to the base of Mount Meru. So there is the second axle. This is second axle which is only 1/4 of the first axle. And this side is not connected anywhere. So this is connected to Dhruva Loka through a rope of wind. So in the previous image, we have seen that this is one axle, this is second axle. In the previous image, this is one axle, this is second axle. These axles are not exactly the same, similar, but just to give a understanding, it is explained through the analogy of oil pressing machine. So first axle, like this is constantly rotates like this, in a circular direction. That's how the wheel rotates. This is fixed, and this is also fixed. But they move around. In that way, we have to understand how the chariot is moving. It is from here to Dhruva Loka. This is Dhruva Loka. It is connected to this. Dhruva is actually controlling the chariot from sitting here. By sitting here. So through that rope. Yeah. That is a rope to indicate this is axle. This is dots. Dots is rope. This is axle. Solid part is axle. This is only 1/4 of the first axle. His first axle is around 16, this is around 4.
1/4 of that.
So this distance is 100,000 yojanas. So we were discussing, na, his sun is almost in parallel with Bhumandala.
So in that way.
This is here to here, yeah. Which daughter? This one? This is not the axle, this is a rope made up of wind, which is connecting the second axle to the pole star. Because this side of the second axle is free in the air. It has to be connected somewhere. So it is connected by a rope to pole star.
No, these are all virtual. These are some subtle. It could be some subtle. Yeah. These are not. Maybe solid, which we can't see. Demigods can see. They may be solid. So it's like that.
From our point of view, it is not solid. It is subtle. So according to Sridhar Swami, he gives some details about this one. How exactly sun is situated to unlike Yojana Sabo. He says that this Manasuttara mountain we discussed yesterday, it is about 10,000 yojanas in height and width also. Height is 10,000 yojanas. Then he says, the chariot actually rotates at a height of 50,000 yojanas from Manasuttara mountain. The chariot will never touches the Manasuttara mountain. It is actually moving in the air at a height of 50,000 yojanas.
So this is 10,000 yojanas and this is 50,000 yojanas. The wheel is starting here. And the sun is situated in an enclosure 40,000 yojanas above the base of the wheel. From this base, the seat of the sun god is about 40,000 yojanas.
So in that way, 40,000 plus 50,000 plus 10,000. The sun is said to be sitting at a height of 1 lakh yojanas. This is how they reconcile that statement of Bhagavatam.
The height of the mountain is 10,000 yojanas. So chariot wheel is said to be moving above the Manasuttara mountain.
But it is not exactly moving above the Manasuttara mountain, touching the Manasuttara mountain. Here we have chariots which are touching the base of the earth. But this is actually moving the earth, moving the air on a platform made up of earth, air. So that is at a height of 50,000. And from the base of the wheel,
here from the base of the wheel to the seat of the
sun god is about 40,000 yojanas. So total put together 1 lakh yojanas. Sun is sitting at a height of 1 lakh yojanas from the Pushkara Dvipa. Yes, Prabhu.
So Bhagavatam further explains that the length and width of the carrier of the sun god is sitting in a chariot.
It has got a platform, na? Chariot, there is a platform for sitting. Our vehicles have got 9 to 10 seats facility.
So that dimensions are 3.6 million yojanas by
9.9 million yojanas, 9 lakh yojanas.
Here.
There's some changes later on. This is from commentaries by Acharyas. Yeah. It's okay. Any other clarification? Anybody else? Yeah, that also had got only one wheel. Because he just followed whatever is happening with sun, similarly replicated the sun. If because of one wheel, there is one circle formed. If there were two wheels, two circles would have been formed. That is not mentioned in Bhagavatam like that. Only one circle is formed for every 26 days. Yes, Prabhu.
So this is I was explaining. The carrier, which is above this chariot, na?
That length of the carrier is
3.6 million yojanas and the width of the carrier is about 0.9
million yojanas. The carrier is there, no? That so a rectangular carrier will be there in our vehicle. We have a rectangular carrier in which 8 seats are there. So 16 people can sit, something like that. That carrier is like a rectangular. Its length is so and so and width is so and so. That carrier. Okay, previously we were thinking that the second axle is actually this one. So that's why the dotted line is representing. Even
because this height is exactly matching to the height of this one. Whatever this 3.9 million yojanas is exactly this much
distance. So just represented like that. Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
So for more details about this carrier,
and the sun's position in that carrier, sun's movement in that carrier, sun's all these things, our dear Prem Gaurang Prabhu will, one day fortunately will explain. We'll wait for him.
At least now we'll get some details which are given in Bhagavatam. We are trying to understand.
So, now further. This chariot is driven by 7 horses,
whose names are named after 7 meters, Vedic meters. Gayatri, Anushtup, Trishtup, all these meters names came in 3rd canto, 12th chapter. Brahmaji created all these things, different sciences, Vedic sciences. There their names comes.
So these are named after Gayatri and other Vedic meters. So these are harnessed to a yoke, whose length is about 0.9 million yojanas.
Yoke, Prabhuji can explain better. Yoke.
Yoke is basically that wooden block which is kept on the neck of the bull, 2 bulls. That is called yoke. They are all connected to yoke. So that its length is 0.9 million yojanas. The chariot driver, Aruna, though he is sitting in front of the sun god, but he always looks backward. Though he is sitting in the front of the chariot, he does not look front side and drive the chariot. He always looks backward and drive the chariot. Huh? Because sun god is a Shakti Avesh Avatar, the supreme lord. So Aruna never want to miss his darshan. That's why. So he want to look always towards. And we also hear sometimes that early in the morning when sun rises, we call it as Arunodai. So in a chariot, driver sits in the front. So first we see the driver coming in. So that's why it is called Arunodai. And Aruna actually has a good contribution in Ramayana. Aruna actually had 2 sons. They are Jatayu and Sampati, who actually helped Lord Ram in a crucial points in the Ramayana. Jatayu laid off his life for protecting Mother Sita. And Sampati gave the direction in which this monkey is supposed to go to find Mother Sita. So in that way, these two are actually sons of Aruna. And Aruna is the elder brother of Garuda. Aruna and Garuda, these are all 2 brothers of Vinata. These are 2 sons of Vinata. These are 2 brothers actually. Kadru is snakes. Vinata, the birds. So Vinata's sons are 2. They are, first one is Aruna, the second one is Garuda. Oh, that is a different pastime. That Gauram Prabhu explains about that pastime. His actual sons are Jatayu and, because he is a bird, he is a species of bird in that way. But that happened because of some other reasons that you hear from Gauram Prabhu. So this is how Aruna, so both the people, Garuda and they became the carriers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Bhagavan form, in his Shakti Avesh form. So it's like that. They had great service they are performing. So there are 60,000 sages who are known as Valakilyas,
who are actually only thumb-sized sages. These are actually thumb-sized. This much small size only. They are all traveling in front of the sun in the opposite direction. The facing towards sun, they are always chanting the Vedic mantras in the glorification of sun god. They are walking backward. Just the way Hanumanji learnt all the Vedas from sun god, walking backward or running backward. He also traveled backward and learned from sun god. So it's like that. So they also always move backward and chant the glories of sun god. So Hanumanji is the disciple of sun god. So as a Guru Dakshina, Suryadev told that, please go and protect my son always. That's why throughout his life, Hanumanji served Sugriva, his son, Sugriva. Now, then, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Nagas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, the sages and Devatas. These are the 7 set of people. In pairs, every month they serve the sun god. There are so many demigods, but some devatas will serve for 1 month like that. They serve in 12 form like that. They serve the sun god every month. Different devatas, different people, all these people. They serve. So Brahma Samhita, this verse we'll recite together. This verse glorifies the activities of sun god.
Echakshuresha Savita Sakalagrahanam Raja Samasa Suramurti Rashesha Teja Yasagnaya Brahmatisam Rutakala Chakro Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Actually, sun, all the demigods are considered to be the vibhuti of the Supreme Lord, as explained in Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter. But sun is considered to be the Shakti Avesh Avatar of the Supreme Lord. The sun has got that special potency. Though Lord Indra is the king of all the demigods, but from potency point of view, Raja Samasa Suramurti Rasheshateja. The sun god is actual king. Because of the presence of sun only, we are all having life. If sun is not there, if Indra is there, what is the point? Sun is the, among all the demigods, sun is the most important one. So that's why it's called Raja. And in the third line says that, Yasyagnaya Brahmati Samburta Kala Chakra. By the order of the Supreme Lord, the sun god is rotating on his orbit, known as Samvatsara, till the end of Brahma's day. So he is not sitting peacefully, he is rotating around Pole Star and Mount Meru. The signs say that Earth is rotating, sun is stationary. So scriptures say that sun is rotating and Earth is stationary. So these are like little bit different viewpoints. No. Yeah, they are there. They are different samvatsaras are with respect to other planets. For sun it is samvatsara. That is Kala Chakra. The wheel of time is Kala Chakra. So this is how sun god is traveling in his magnificent chariot. So giving light to the three planetary system, Bhuloka, Bhurloka and Swargaloka. He is giving light to all the three planetary systems. So now moon god. The moon god is situated 1 lakh yojanas above the rays of the sun. Is not exactly above the sun, but is 1 lakh yojanas above the rays of the sun. So Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter 12 and 13 verses talks about sun and moon. Our Lord is personally expanding our sun and moon and helping us to survive in this universe. Yadaditya gatam tejo jagat bhashayate kilam yachandramasi yajagno tat tejo viddhi mamakam. Whatever sunlight, moonlight, they are actually Lord's splendor. They are manifested through sun and moon. That's what we said. Sun is also not self-illuminating object. It is getting that sunlight from Brahma Jyoti and giving light to us in that way. And ga ma vishesha bhutani daryami ahamojasa pushnami aushadha sarve soma bhutva rasatmakam. So this is how he is nourishing all of us by giving juice in the vegetables. The moon god is nourishing all of us by giving juice in the vegetables. If there is no juice in the vegetables, what we will eat? Yeah, that nectar. Yeah, I am telling about us. In the human being, we eat foodstuffs. The demigods eat nectar. So in that way, he is giving supply of food to everyone. Everyone is getting food from some moon god only. That also has connection. In the next slide, it will explain that. So this is the sun god which we have seen previously. This is Mount Meru. And the moon god is said to be situated at 1 lakh yojanas above the rays of sun. So some approximate positions. So from the rays of the sun which are coming to planet Earth, if you take 1 lakh yojanas in height wise, so we can say this is
the location of the moon.
But horizontal distances, the moon is very close to the Earth compared to sun. This we are now discussing everything vertically. So vertically, from here to here, this is 1 lakh yojanas. And from here to here, we can consider this is 1 lakh yojanas. Horizontally, this is 15.75 million yojanas. This is around 50,000 yojanas only. Moon is very close to Earth, 50,000 yojanas. So, in that way. This dimension is not given in Bhagavatam, but this is from Bhugola Varnanam. They mentioned that 50,000 yojanas. So, further details about the moon god.
So, with his waxing and waning phases, he creates during waxing phase, that is waxing means Shukla Paksha, during which the moon is gradually increasing. He creates day for the demigods and night for the Pitrus. And this Paksha, Shukla Paksha, is actually suitable for the worship of demigods. And through his waning phase, Krishna Paksha, he creates day for the Pitrus and night for the Devatas. This is suitable for the worship of Pitrus. So this explanation helps us to understand that the moon planet, half of the moon planet is occupied by the demigods. Other half is actually occupied by the Pitrus, the forefathers, the pious ancestors who have passed away. They must have gone to this Pitruloka. That is actually this moon planet. This is what we hear in Bhagavatam 9th canto also. Many people, even Pururava, I think, you are performing so many fire sacrifices. This is recommended in Karmakanda sacrifices. If you perform so and so sacrifices,
you will become eligible to go to heaven and you will be able to eat somarasa. You will be able to drink somarasa. Tetam bhukta svargalokam vishalam kshine punne martyalokam vishanti. So whatever piety one performs, he will go to moon planet and he will enjoy the somarasa. So that is where they get somarasa. This is in moon planet. The actual pitruloka, whichever is referred anywhere, it is actually moon planet. The half of the moon planet is actually pitruloka. Other half is where the demigods are residing. So during Shukla Paksha, one can worship the demigods. These demigods are not the actual demigods, in the sense the original there are so many categories of demigods. Some live in the moon planet, some live in the Amaravati. So those demigods who are living here, if somebody want to worship them, they can worship during Shukla Paksha. Somebody want to worship Pitrus, they can worship during Krishna Paksha. So that's why the Pritru Paksha, every year during the month of September, October, the Pitru Paksha comes. There are 15 days during which all the family members, they offer Shraddha to their forefathers, their respect to departed parents. That happens in during Bhadrapada Krishna Paksha. During the month of Bhadrapada, during Krishna Paksha. From Pauranami, the next day after Pauranami, all the way up to Amavasya. Amavasya is actually considered the last day. That is the day on which many people do that ceremony to their forefathers. Yes, Prabhu. That is another section of Pitrus. This is the main Pitruloka, that is subset Pitruloka. So here, this image, little bit explanation is given here. See, this is the sun god, this is the earth. When moon comes here in between sun and earth, this part of the moon is bright. So this part is dark. So this day is called Amavasya. This is the place where demigods are residing and this is the place where Pitrus are residing. Maybe after 15 days, it goes on the other side. So this becomes Pournami. This part is where Devatas are residing, this part is where Pitrus are residing. How this happens, we'll discuss in the next presentation, but at least for now, this is Amavasya, this is Pournami. So you see here Devatas are experiencing night. So during Krishna Paksha, Devatas are experiencing night and the Pritrus are experiencing daytime. During Shukla Paksha, Devatas are experiencing daytime and the Pitrus are experiencing nighttime. This Krishna Paksha is suitable for worship of the Pitrus. Yes, Prabhu. They are not in the straight line, just to represent, I have showed in the straight line. Whether they will come in the straight line or not, we'll discuss tomorrow. This is only just to give that understanding where exactly they are living. So we can understand that in the moon, this part of the moon, the Pitrus are residing, this part of the moon is Devatas are residing. Just to give an idea, I put this image. Is it clear? So the moon is glorified with different names. He is called Sarva Jiva Nivaha Prano. The moon is the life of all beings because it produces food in the form of plants. Thus he is called life itself. Because from moon only we are getting juice in the vegetables and all different plants. So we eating grains and vegetables. Some animals eat grass, other animals eat those animals. So like that, all the living entities are depending on moon. So he is giving life to all living entities. He produces food in the form of plants. That's why he is called Annam. Annam hi prananam prana. Only by food, all of us are subsisting. Annat bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava, ignat bhavanti parjanyo, ignya karma samudvaha. Like that. All the living entities are living based on food. So food is the life of all beings. He is also called Jiva because he is producing immortal nectar for all living beings. This is what we discussed yesterday. The moon is farming the nectar from Pratipad all the way up to Pournami. The next 14 days demigods are drinking the nectar. The last day the Pitrus are drinking the nectar. And the whatever leftover water is coming down to us in the form of rain. So from that rain we are getting grains and all the food products for the benefit of all the living entities. That's why he is called Jiva. He is life-sustaining force of all the living entities. And that is the reason he is called chief living being in the universe. The moon is called Manomaya because he is the control entity of mind. He is composed of 16 phases, Shoda Shakala. From Pratipad all the way to Pournami, every day moon is gradually increasing. And in the reverse order, it comes back. And the Amavasya, there is no moon only. Thus, that is how there are 16 phases of the moon in a month. 16 different types of moon we can see in a month. So that's why it is called Shorakshakala. Because he is giving life to everyone by the juice. For us, he is giving vegetables. For the demigods, he is giving nectar. So in that way, he is chief. 16 phases in a month. 16 phases. Pratipa, Dvitiya, Tritiya, Chaturthi, Panchami, Saptami, Ashtami, Navami, Dashami, Ekadashi, Dwadashi, Trayadashi, Chaturdashi, Pournami and Amavasya. These are 16 phases of the moon. So he is called Purusho Bhagavan. The Supreme Lord, the mind, is called Annamaya, he is called Amrutamaya, he is called life of all living entities, he is called Sarvamaya, because he is spread everywhere. He is called supporting all living beings. The moon passes through one constellation in 30 Muhurtas. This is explained here. This is about the movements. Some details we are adding here only. We will not speak about it, but just we are adding. The moon passes through 30 constellations, 27 constellations in 30 Muhurtas. Each in 30 Muhurtas. One day consists of 30 Muhurtas. One day is divided into 30 Muhurtas. 24 hours, if you divide it into 30 parts, each part will be around 48 minutes. So each Muhurta consists of 48 minutes. So in 30 Muhurtas, that is one day, the moon covers one constellation. There are 27 constellations. That's how he goes. How he goes, we'll see tomorrow. So the what are the constellations? These are called nakshatras. There are 28 in number along with Abhijit. Without Abhijit, there are 27 constellations. With Abhijit, there are 28. They move in a clockwise direction around Meru, as long as Brahma's day is there. They move on the wheel of time in the clockwise direction. They are situated at a height 3 lakh yojanas above moon. So each constellation is further divided into 4 dandas or 4 padas. Why this division, all this there, that we'll discuss tomorrow. So Abhijit, this constellation, comes in the middle of Ashada and Shravana. One information here, in the 6th canto, we will read about this. Daksha, he begets 60 daughters. Out of 60, he gave 27 daughters in marriage to moon god. These 27 daughters of Daksha Prajapati, they are actually the preceding deities of the 27 constellations. They are actually living in the 27 constellations. The moon god is the husband of all the 27 daughters of Daksha. That is the reason he spends one day with each and every constellation. So one day with one wife, next day. Like that he covers all the 27 wives in 1 month. Again he goes ahead like that. That is additional understanding. Abhijit will explain tomorrow. That is another extra 28th. We'll discuss some past times about it. This is the location of constellations. 27 constellations are situated 300,000 yojanas above the moon. So then above the moon there is Venus, Shukra Graha. Its precedent is Shukracharya. Shukracharya is the precedent of the Shukra Graha. So this also moves like the sun. Sometimes ahead of sun, sometimes behind of sun. He is always favorable for all living entities. Shukra Graha is favorable for all his living entities. Because of his movements, he creates goodness for our existence. He causes rain. Because Annad Bhavanti Bhutani Parjanyad Anna Sambhava. Because of rains only we get food. So he causes rains. So Venus causes rains. He removes all kinds of evil influences of other planets in a person's life or in a place. So above this Venus is Mercury. Mercury is Buddha. Buddha is actually the son of moon god. Buddha, the preceding deity of this planet, is the son of moon god. This person is actually marries that Sudyumna who transformed into a female by entering into Ilavrata Varsha unknowingly. So he marries her and he begets one son whose name is Pururava. So he continues the lineage of Lunar dynasty, Chandra Vamsha, in which Lord Krishna appeared later on. So he also moves like sun, sometimes behind, sometimes in the front. He is generally auspicious. Mercury is generally auspicious. But only by going away from sun, he causes fearful situations such as drought, cyclones and continual clouds. Whenever he moves away from sun, he causes this kind of situation. Then the planet which is above this is Angaraka or Mars. This is also called Mangala Graha. Generally, it is inauspicious. Generally, this Mars is inauspicious. Whenever it comes to a place, that causes difficult, indicating grief. It causes grief. So this Angaraka passes through each zodiac sign for over 3 fortnights. That means it takes 1.5 months to cover each zodiac sign. These thing movements we'll discuss tomorrow. The details are mentioned, so I just added them. So thus, he covers all the 12 zodiac signs, maybe little more than 1.5 years. So then comes Brihaspati. He is generally auspicious for all the Brahmanas because Brihaspati is the spiritual master of all the demigods. So he is a Brahmana, so he is favorable for all the Brahmanas. He covers each zodiac sign over 360 days. Thus, he covers all the 12 zodiac signs almost close to 12 years. Yeah, 12 years he covers all the zodiac signs. And above Brihaspati is Saturn or Shaneshwara. So he is very inauspicious under all circumstances. Shani, Shani, Shani. People say, Sadasati. They go to astrologer, they'll ask, when is my Sadasati is coming like that? So he's always indicating grief. So he is inauspicious not only for human beings, for the whole universe also, he is inauspicious. He passes through each zodiac sign over 30 months. 30 months is around 2.5 years. So in that way. So he covers 12 signs in 355. What is this? 30 anuvasaras or 30 years. So now, above Shaneshwara is the location of the Saptarishis, the Saptarishi Mandal. So the Saptarishi Mandal actually moving above this the Shaneshwara. They always think of the well-being of all people living in everywhere, all over the universe. Because these Saptarishis are actually, they are said to be the preceptors of everyone. In the 8th canto, chapter 14, it talks that from Satyayuga all the way up to Kaliyuga, the dharma actually declines. At the beginning of next Satyayuga, it is the duty of the Saptarishis to re-establish the principles of dharma. They come down and they preach the injunctions of the scriptures, they re-establish the dharma. That is the activity of the Saptarishis. They are all like great sages. So they do this activity. So they circumambulate the supreme lords abode, that is Dhruvaloka. They move around Dhruvaloka. So the Dhruva Maharaj still resides in Dhruvaloka. So by offering obeisances to lords abode, that Kshirodaksha Vishnu, they keep on rotating in the Saptarishi Mandal. The Saptarishis, demigods and different stars circumambulate the Dhruvaloka, keeping their right side towards him. Just like during Tulsi Arati, the way we rotate around, the way we move around Tulsi Maharani, keeping our right to Tulsi Maharani, we rotate in clockwise direction. In the same way, the Saptarishis, the Devatas, and the stars, and the other 9 planets which we discussed till now, they all rotate in, they rotate in circular fashion. So it is said that if somebody is elder to us, we should keep them towards our right. If somebody is younger to us, we should keep them towards our left. So, not to criticize anything, but generally, after the marriage, the wife is always kept on the left side of the husband. So, considering her to be the follower of husband. And when we offer obeisances, we also offer obeisance on the right side. So, it's like that. When we move around circumambulation, we also make circumambulation keeping our right side to the deities, considering them to be elevated than us. Something like that. Okay, that is, the concept is different. That is the hovering heart to Lord, that is to our left. That is a different concept. At least this circumambulation that we do according to this. So there is a circumambulate him in clockwise direction. So these are the summary of all the dimensions where they are located height-wise. Considering sun to be the center, moon is at 1 lakh, constellations are 3 lakh above moon, that is 4 lakhs. Venus is 6 lakhs, so Mercury is 8 lakhs, Mars is 1 million, Jupiter is 1.2, Saturn 1.4, 7 sages 2.5, Pole star is about 3.8 million yojanas above the sun god. So now we see how they are located. This is the moon above the rays of the sun. This is the 27 nakshatras. This is Venus.
this is Mercury, this is Mars, this is Jupiter, this is Saturn, this is Saptarishis,
the above pole star. Actually, in this image, the height is elongated. The total height, if you see, from the sun all the way up to pole star, it is around 3.8 only. From here to here is only 3.8. But here to here it is 16 million, close to 15.75, close to 16. So if you draw it according to the scale, this portion would be much longer than this portion. So in that way, these planets, though they are situated one above the other, their gap between them is small only. Compared to their horizontal radiuses, it is very less. So in that way, this is also somewhere close to the description of science. Science, they said that they are on the flat. They are all one plane. All the nine planets are on the same plane. These are the same planets which are described by science also. There is no difference between them. These are the same planets which they describe. Yeah, goes on increasing.
The way it is shown here. The moon is less. Then it comes, this is what? Venus. Then comes Mercury. Then comes Sun. Then comes Mars. Then comes Jupiter. Then comes Saturn. Saturn is the longest orbit.
Okay?
Before Sun, there are two planets. After Sun, there are two planets. There are total how many? Sun, Moon, Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. These are seven planets.
These are 7 days in a week. They represent 7 days in a week. They are the precedent entities of each day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Again. There are two more additional planets. They are called Rahu, Ketu. Along with them, there are total 9 planets. These are Navagrahas whose movements are explained in Bhagavatam. Rahu's step brothers. So Bhagavatam 6th canto, it explains that there is one personality called Simhika. She begot 101 sons. The first son is called Sir Rahu. The next 100 sons are called Ketus. So Rahu and Ketus, by drinking nectar during Samudra Manthan pastime, they became immortal. So Lord Brahma gave them the planets to live in those planets. The planet in which Rahu is living, it is called Rahu. The planet in which Ketus are living, it is called Ketu. Cut down the body, then head is alive, body is dead. So later on, demigods added, they cut the body of a snake. They added the rest of the portion of snake to the Rahu's head. So Rahu has got human head and the snake body. That's how he is living. Ketus have ulta, that's what I understand. Some say differently, but whatever it is. Ketus, they have snake head and human body. That is the understanding. No, they are black planet. They both are black. They are not luminaries. They are black planets. So this is about the planets. So this is one concept. Prabhupada actually sometimes talks to scientists. Prabhupada always says that moon is above the sun. Moon is far than the sun. Because Sunday comes before Monday. So if you see here, this is the planet Earth. This is sun. Then coming moon. Height-wise, if you see, the moon is coming after sun. So taking the reference of this kind of description, Prabhupada would say that the moon is above the sun. Yeah, sun is far than moon. Yeah, it is close to the planet Earth. No, Prabhuji. Radius are not described in Bhagavatam. So only heights are described. This is the chart. Only heights are mentioned. Because sun is said to be the middle of the universe. Sun is in the middle of the universe. Vertically, sun is in the middle of the universe. Above sun, there is 250 million yojanas. Below sun, there is 250 million yojanas. So now we are discussing upper side of the universe. It is in the middle. Horizontally, Mount Meru in the middle. Vertically, that is also in the middle. That is also in the middle. But at least from the point of view of the planets, Sun is said to be in the middle.
See, here both sun and planet Earth and Mount Meru, they are on the same line. So all the three are in the middle. Vertically, all the three are in the middle. Because we are discussing about the planets, the sun is said to be in the middle.
Yeah.
This is 0.4 from sun, this is 0.6, 0.8, 1, 1.2, like this, 3.8 is the pole star. This is the total height, this is the subsequent distance between the adjacent planets. From sun to moon this much, and moon to constellation this much, this here to here like that.
This is the delta height.
So this is how all the planets are situated in the universe, the 3D drawing. This is the Bhoomandala, this is the pole star. These are all the planets, you can say. This is Sun. Here Rahu and Ketu are here. This is Moon. This is Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, Saptarishis, and the Pole Star. This is how they are moving in their respective orbits.
The orbits are gradually going outside, so the radius is more. Yeah, yeah. Everyone is getting energy from Sun. Tomorrow. Prabhuji? Rahu and Ketu, they are demonic people. Though they are getting light, they are dark only. By nature, they are dark. The planets are said to be dark planets. Yeah, whatever. Yes, Prabhu. Which one? They'll come later. Why you want to? I just added, Prabhuji. That is a 3D image made later on. Not visible?
No, they are there, no? So here you see, this is Rahu. And this is Ketu.
Prabhuji? They are below the sun. In the Bhagavatam, they are not yet come. They come in 24th chapter. Currently, we are discussing 22nd chapter. Below the sun. Yeah, below the sun. So, they are not there in the table because we are discussing upper side of the sun. So, they are not come. But in the image, they came, but because image is like a whole image. So, then Bhagavatam talks about Shishumara planet system, 23rd chapter.
The Shishumara,
this they consider the great mission. It is made up of all the planets and stars. This looks like a dolphin which is swimming in the ocean. So, the yogis considered this dolphin to be an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. They considered this to be a Virat Rupa of the Supreme Lord. Just like in the second canto, first chapter, the Virat Rupa is explained as a Dharanashraya of the attached yogis. So this is also one of the Dharanashraya. They made it on this as an incarnation of Supreme Lord. This is not Masya Avatar, Prabhuji. This is dolphin. They meditated upon as Virat Rupa. It is actually visible in the space. That's why they are meditating. It is not something hypothetical. This is actually visible. You take all the planets and draw a border among them. It looks like a Shishumara. So this describes the zodiac. They describe the zodiac or Jyotiri Anikam as the form of a dolphin and worship it as Lord Vasudeva's incarnation as Virat Rupa. This is how they meditate. The yogis meditate upon it. So, what are the planets? So, some characters of this planet, its head is downward. This is actually inverted Shishumara, inverted dolphin. The tail is upward and head is downward. It is actually not straight. It is coiled towards right side. So, in the previous image, if you see like this. Here it is not downward, but it is coiled like this. There are 14 stars on either side. We have seen that in the there are 28 constellations. 14 on the right side, 14 on the left side. These 28 stars are actually balancing this Shishumara on both sides. This is Lord Vishnu's external form, not Lord's eternal form. It is the external form. This Shishumara is the resting place of all the demigods, stars and planets. All the planets, stars, and they are taking shelter in this. The 28 nakshatras. So out of 28, 14 on the right side of the Shishumara, 14 on the left side of the Shishumara. So these 28 are balancing the Shishumara. Nakshatra is balancing the Shishumara. Yeah. There. Out of 28, 27 are daughters. The 28th is Abhijit. దిస్ ఈస్ ఆల్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ శిశుమార ఓన్లీ ఫ్రమ్ ధ్రువ లోకో ఆల్ ద వే అప్ టు భూమండల వాట్ ఎవర్ యూ సీ ఎంటైర్ సిస్ థింగ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ యూ సీ ఇన్ ద స్పేస్ ఇన్ ద నైట్ దట్ ఇస్ ఆల్ కాల్డ్ శిశుమార బట్ ఇన్ ద ఆల్ ద స్టార్ దేర్ ఆర్ సమ్ ప్రైమరీ ప్లానెట్స్ అండ్ స్టార్స్ ఇఫ్ యూ డ్రా దెమ్ మ్యాపింగ్ లైక్ ఏ ఇమేజ్ దట్ లుక్స్ లైక్ ఎ డాల్ఫిన్ దట్స్ వై ఇట్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ శిశుమార ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎవ్రీవేర్ ప్రభుజీ ఆల్ ద వే ఫ్రమ్ పోల్ స్టార్ అప్ టు భూమండల వెయిట్ నెక్స్ట్ ఇమేజ్ ఐ విల్ షో యూ ఇమేజెస్ విల్ హెల్ప్ యూ క్లియర్లీ సో జస్ట్ సీయింగ్ ద స్లైడ్స్ యూ డోంట్ ఆస్క్ క్వశ్చన్స్ యూ వెయిట్ టిల్ ద ఇమేజెస్ విల్ డిస్కస్ ఆల్ దోస్ సీ హియర్ యూ సీ ఇన్ దిస్ ఇమేజ్ సో దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ స్టార్స్ వాట్ యూ సీ ఇన్ ద నైట్ దేర్ ఇస్ ఎ డాల్ఫిన్ హియర్ whose head is downward and tail is here. This is how it is constantly rotating in clockwise direction. This, everything is rotating, keeping pole star as this pivot, their Aadhar. They are rotating like this. All the primary planets which we discussed till now, they are all part of the Shishumar. If you map them, they look like a, like this they say. If you are interested, you can go and see through a telescope in the night and find out where they are located. So these are the locations. So in the body of the Shishumar, where all the different planets are located. At the end of its tail, it is said that tail is on the top side, head is on the bottom side. At the end of the tail, the topmost of the Shishumar is Dhruvaloka. Here, Dhruvaloka. On the body of its tail, there is Prajapati, that is Prajapati referring to Daksha, and Agni, Indra and Dharma. These are all the greatest demigods they are living in. This indicates that the actual Swarga, which is called as Amaravati, is actually here, just below the pole star. Actual Amaravati, where the 3.3 crore demigods are living, is this place. This is the place where they are living. And just beneath them, at the base of the tail is the planets of Data and Vidata. These are lesser demigods. Data and Vidata. Their names will come in 6th canto. All these names will come in 6th canto. Their parents' names, their names all will come in 6th canto. And at the hips of the Shishumara, the 7 Saptarishis. In the previously we discussed Saptarishis are there, above them Dhruva planet. So in between what is there is described in this 23rd chapter. And below them, there is Saturn. Below that, Jupiter, Mars, and Mercury, Venus, and the constellations. The 14 on the right side, 14 on the left side. This is what we have discussed till now. The same thing is there part of Shishumara. Then now, below them, there are constellations on the southern part. They are called Ajaviti. I don't know what they are. On its abdomen, the Ganga flows in the sky, the Milky Way. We have seen that Ganges is descending from Dhruvaloka, all the way it is coming to the moon planet. Then it is landing on the top of Mount Meru, going in 4 directions. That is explained here. So then, in its mind, the moon. In its chest, the sun. And in its heart, Narayana. And then Ashwini Kumaras. And below them is Rahu. Then Agasthi. Then Emaraj. This is how the description is given. All over its body, there are comets. Ulkas, they are there all over the space. Ulkas. And all its skin pores are called numerous stars. There are unlimited stars in the space. They are considered to be the pores of the skin of the Shishumar. So now, some image I have put, I may be wrong, but just to give you an idea where they are located. This is how the Shishumar. Its tail is upward, its mouth is downward. This is the location of Dhruvaloka. This is the location of demigods, other demigods. This is the location of Saptarishis. This is the location of remaining 5 planets. And this is the location of 14 plus 14, 28 stars. This side Pusha to Uttarashada, this side Abhijit to Punarvasu. This is the location of Moon, the location of Sun, the location of Ashwini Kumaras, the location of Rahu and Emaraj. Heart.
Rarayanandal heart. I just represented the planets. Other things, we need your help.
Okay? Narayana is in the heart. So this is how the Shishumara is always rotating, keeping pole star as its Aadhar. All the planets are taking shelter of this one. So their location is given in this. So the Bhagavatam further describes the position of the 28 constellations, where they are located. The right side 14 are there, from Abhijit to Punarvasu, left side 14 are there. So where they are located? and the right and left of the lions, that is Punarvasu and Pushya, and the right and left feet Ardra and Ashlesha, right and left nostrils Abhijit and Uttarashada, right and left eyes Shravana and Punarvasu, right and left ears Dhanishta and Mula, and left ribs 8 stars, right ribs 8 stars, right and left shoulders Shatabhisha and Jyeshta.
This is the location of all the 28 stars. So this is how it is described in 23rd chapter.
So these are all the planets, and so the same image, how the all planets are situated.
Now, in the last purport, though it is not described in Bhagavatam, in the last purport, it is indicated the location of the upper planets, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka.
So, above Dhruva Loka is the Maharloka. It is abode of great sages and rishis. All the siddhas, rishis in large number, they live in this Maharloka. Janaloka is the abode of all the great sages and rishis headed by Bhrugumuni. And Tapaloka is the abode of great sages and rishis headed by 4 Kumaras. Satyaloka is the abode of Brahma. He resides along with all the great souls, all of his sons and all. 3rd Canto, 12th chapter explains all his Manasaputras. They are all living in this Brahmaloka. This is how the 4 planets are located. So after this Satyaloka,
before reaching the universal covering, there is free space. So about that some discussion is given in Bhagavatam. In this free space, there is one Vishnu Loka. Okay? Just above Satyaloka, there is one Vaikuntha planet. This Vaikuntha planet is actually created by Lord Vaikuntha to please Mother Lakshmi. This Lord Vaikuntha is the son of Subhra and Vikunta. This is actually explained in 8th Canto, 5th chapter, while describing different Manvantaras. During the 5th Manvantara period, this Manvantara avatar is Lord Vaikuntha, who is the son of Subhra and Vikunta. So to please Mother Lakshmi, he brought the Vaikuntha, which is actually in the Vaikuntha planetary area, into this universe. That is this Vaikuntha, which is situated in this area. And to this Vaikuntha, this Vaikuntha is actually described in 3rd Canto, 15th and 16th chapters. To this Vaikuntha, actually the 4 Kumaras went. So on their free search, the free traveling, they all entered into this Vaikuntha. That is where they caused that disturbance between Jayavijaya. They cursed them. They happened to take birth 3 lifetimes as demons. That all happened in this Vaikuntha. So the description about this Vaikuntha planet is given in 15th chapter. All that wonderful verses comes in
Bhagavatam. And is also described in 2nd Canto, 9th chapter from verse number 9 to 13.
If you remember, 2nd Canto, 9th chapter, Lord Brahmaji, after hearing 2 words, Tha and Pa, he was performing austerities for 1,000 celestial years. Afterwards, he had the darshan of Vaikuntha, Maha Vaikuntha. So he had the darshan of Lord Vishnu, being served by so many servants. So that is this Vaikuntha. Because this is just about Satyaloka, so Brahmaji easily had the darshan of this Vaikuntha. After having this darshan, Brahmaji asked 4 questions. To answer those 4 questions, Lord Narayana spoke Chatushloki Bhagavatam. This is also described in 2nd Canto, 9th chapter. This is again described in 2nd Canto, 5th chapter, 38 and 39 shlokas. The shloka comes, Murdabhi Satya Lokastu Brahma Loka Sanatana. While describing the Karana Sushti and Karya Sushti, Lord Brahmaji further describes about the formation of the universal form. He starts with the base, he goes all the way up to the head. Murdabhi Satya Loka. The top of the head is Satya Loka. But Brahma Loka Sanatana. There is the eternal Brahma Loka, which is the abode of the Supreme Lord. That is not part of the Virat Rupa, but that is located above Satya Loka. That too actually signifies this is different from all the places, other places. So that is described in 2nd Canto also. So now, other references. In the 9th Canto, 4th chapter.
So it is described.
This chapter is basically Durvasa Muni being afflicted by the rays of the Sudarshan Chakra. He is traveling everywhere. First he went to Kailash, then he went to Brahmaloka. They did not give shelter. Then he went to Vaikuntha. The Vaikuntha in which he entered is this Vaikuntha. So it is there that Vaikunthakyam Yadadaste Srinivasa Sriyasaha. In this Vaikuntha, where they went is the abode of Lord Srinivasa along with Mother Lakshmi. He went into that place, this place which is situated above Satyaloka. And then it is also explained in 10th Canto, 8th and 9th chapter. There what happened? This chapter talks about
భృగుముని టెస్టింగ్ ద త్రీ ప్రిన్సిపల్ డీటీస్ ఈ వెంటు బ్రహ్మలోక టెస్టెడ్ లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ ఈ వెంటు కైలాస్ టెస్టెడ్ లార్డ్ శివ దెన్ ఈ వెంటు వైకుంఠ టు టెస్ట్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు ఈ వెంట అండ్ ద చెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు దట్ హ్యాపెండ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వైకుంఠ అతో జగామ వైకుంఠం ఎత్ర దేవ జనార్దన సో వన్ వండర్ఫుల్ కనెక్షన్ ఇస్ దట్ సో ఇన్ ద నైన్త్ క్యాంటో ఇన్ ద ఫోర్త్ చాప్టర్ హియర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ దట్ శ్రీనివాస శ్రీయసహ ద లార్డ్ ఇస్ లివింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ ప్లేస్ హూ ఈజ్ నోన్ యాజ్ శ్రీనివాస శ్రీయసహ సో ఫ్రమ్ తిరుపతి బాలాజీ పాస్ట్ టైమ్ వీ హియర్ దిస్ ద భృగుముని కిక్డ్ ద చెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ సో మదర్ లక్ష్మి ఫెల్ట్ వెరీ బ్యాడ్ షీ కేమ్ డౌన్ టు కొల్లాపూర్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ ఆస్ట్రేటిస్ సో ఇన్ సర్చ్ ఆఫ్ మదర్ లక్ష్మి లార్డ్ విష్ణు కేమ్ డౌన్ అండ్ ఈ బిగన్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ ఆస్ట్రేటిస్ ఇన్ తిరుపతి సో దట్ లార్డ్ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ యాజ్ శ్రీనివాస సో దట్ ఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ మెన్షన్డ్ ఇన్ భాగవతం యాజ్ శ్రీనివాస దిస్ ద ఓన్లీ ప్లేస్ లార్డ్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ శ్రీనివాస నో వేర్ ఎల్స్ ఇన్ భాగవతం ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ శ్రీనివాస ఈ అది అన్లిమిటెడ్ నేమ్స్ బట్ ఈజ్ యాక్చువల్లీ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ శ్రీనివాస So this is the connection we can give it to Tirupati also. The Tirupati Lord actually descended from this Vaikuntha, which is above Satyaloka. Some additional references about this, this place. So this is all, this is Brahmaloka. This is the free space in which this Vaikuntha is situated, just above Satyaloka. So this is the description about upper planetary systems. So this is the whole, these things we have discussed till now. So we are just closing this and everything in 2-3 minutes. Just 2-3 references are there, we will close it. So there are 7 layers of the universal covering. After this Vaikuntha, there comes the 7 layers, made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, and false ego and mahatattva. And each is 10 times wider than the previous one. Some say there are 8 layers, some say there are 10 layers. Okay, some 8 layers, some 10 layers, some say. So how their understanding is about 8 layers and 10 layers. These are the 7 elements, earth, water, fire, ether, false ego and mahatattva. The 8th layer is actually the layer made up of pradhana. So pradhana generally consists of 3 modes, mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. So when pradhana we divide into 3 parts, that becomes 7 plus 3, 10 layers. So this is how the understanding is given. So the reference about these 10 layers, it also comes in Bhagavatam. So this is explained in సెకండ్ క్యాంటో 5th చాప్టర్ 35th వర్స్ స ఏవ పురుష తస్మాత్ అండం నిర్భిద్య నిర్గత సహస్రోరు అంగ్రి బాహు అక్ష సహస్రానన శీర్షవాన్ దట్ పురుష దిస్ ఇస్ జస్ట్ ఆఫ్టర్ ద వర్స్ దట్ మూర్ధబి సత్యలోకాస్తు బ్రహ్మలోక సనాతన జస్ట్ ఆఫ్టర్ దట్ దిస్ వర్స్ కమ్స్ దట్ పురుష హూ ఎక్స్పాండెడ్ దిస్ జైజాంటిక్ యూనివర్సల్ ఫామ్ దెన్ ఈ పియర్స్ త్రూ దిస్ యూనివర్సల్ లేయర్స్ and residing outside with thousands of legs, feet, arms, eyes, faces and heads. This is actually explaining about Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, that abode where Lord Krishna took Arjuna to retrieve the sons of Brahmana is actually Sahasra Shirsha Purusha. This is actually referring to Karnodakshaya Vishnu. So then it also further explained in సెకండ్ క్యాంటో 6th చాప్టర్ 16th వర్స్ సర్వం పురుషం ఏవేదం భూతం భవ్యం భవచ్చేత్ తేనేదం ఆవృతం విశ్వం వితసిం అది తిష్టతి ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ గోస్ దట్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఎగ్జిస్టెడ్ ఇన్ ద పాస్ట్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇన్ ద ప్రజెంట్ అండ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ విల్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇన్ ద ఫ్యూచర్ ఈజ్ కవర్డ్ బై ద లార్డ్ ఈ ఎక్స్టెండ్స్ బియాండ్ ద యూనివర్స్ బై 10 ఫింగర్స్ ద లార్డ్ ఈజ్ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ బియాండ్ ద యూనివర్స్ బై 10 ఫింగర్స్ 10 ఫింగర్స్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ These 10 fingers are actually corresponding to the 10 layers of the universe. That is indirectly explained in second canto. That Lord is, whatever Purusha Sukta prayers offered, that is in glorification of Karnodakshaya Vishnu, Sahasra Shirsha Purusha. Even the Vishwarupa also explains about Sahasra Shirsha Purusha in Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter. So, Bhagavatam 6th chapter of second canto is called as Purusha Sukta confirmed. Then in the Purusha Sukta, these are there. Om Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasra Aksha Sahasra Pad, like that. So these are the verses given in Purusha Sukta prayers, verse number 1 and 2. These verses are actually corresponding to the verses given in Bhagavatam. So this line is this line, and this line is this line, and this line is this line, and this line, you see this line. Okay? So what is said in that? Tenedam Avrutam Vishwam Visatim Dati Shishtati. In the Purusha Sukta prayer, it is said that, Sabu Mim Sarvata Prasprushta, అత్యతిష్ట దశాంగులం లార్డ్ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ సిచ్యువేటెడ్ 10 ఫింగర్స్ అవుట్సైడ్ ద యూనివర్స్ దిస్ 10 ఫింగర్స్ ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ ద 10 లేయర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద యూనివర్స్ That is how. After this Karudakaya Vishnu comes, impersonal Brahmajyoti. That is the region of the liberated souls. So after that comes Vaikuntha planets. So Vishnu Purana says 10 million yojanas above the universe account. These details are given in the purport of the last verse of 23rd chapter. This is the whole discussion in the vertical order of the universe. So where is that? Yeah. So these are the whole dimensional thing. If you see, Satyaloka is located 233. There is a free space of 16.2 in this Brahmaloka, Vaikuntha is there. And after which there are universal layers, outer coverings, then the Brahmajyoti, then Vaikuntha planets. All these are there in the vertical order. See here, this is made out of the scale. The lower half is filled with water. This is Loka Loka mountain. This is Dhruva Loka. The location of Dhruva Loka is there, very small, if you see. And then comes Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. Then universal covering, outside the universal covering is Brahmajyoti and Vaikuntha planets. And if you magnify this small area, it is like this. This is Loka Loka mountain, which are going all the way from Bhumandala to Dhruva Loka. These are the planets located. Rahu, Ketu, Sun, Moon, constellations, Venus, Mercury, Jupiter, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and Saptarishis, like that. These are all the planets are located, how they are. This is how they are located in the universe. This is how the front view. In one universe, we have started with Bhuloka. We went all the way above Satyaloka and all. The universal coverings also we discussed. In this the famous painting, you see, this is one universe. This is Karnadakshaya Vishnu. This is Brahmajyoti. These are Vaikuntha planets. If you go further beyond Vaikuntha planets, you will go to Goloka Vrindavan. This is the whole description of the universe. Hare Krishna.